A few lines in the first mission, present the Machlekes Satanan. What's the minimum population you have to have in a city? You should be obligated to establish a Bezdin of 23. This is a topic. When we started the mitzvah, we discussed a little bit the mitzvah of minui dayanim. There is a mitzvah to establish dayanim b'chol plach u'plach b'chol year v'year. That's what we learned on Tezayin and Ubeis. Shoftim shatid locho b'chol she'alecho lishvatecho. You have to have every shevet has to have and every ear has to have. The Gemara says in the end of the first perek in Makkos that in Chutz Lord's obligation is only to establish a Bezdin B'chol Plach U'Plach. It's not necessary to establish a Bezdin B'chol Yivir. But in Eretz Yisrael, Shoftim Shatim B'chol B'chol Sharech Olish V'techo in Eretz Yisrael, it goes on. So you're obligated to establish B'chol Yivir. So we discussed it. The Rambam apparently had a different gears in the Gemara later in the Sidya B'nei Noyach. The way we have the Gersa in the Gemara, it says the Bnei Noach have the same din. Nun Vav on the base, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta from Maseches Avodah Zarah. Different from the Gemara in the Gemara. So in our Gemara, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta from Maseches Avodah Zarah that says that the Bnei Noach hametzuv on dinim, and kishem shenin tzavi yisrael lehoshev bat dinim chol palach aplach b'chol every year, so too. So it comes out, if you put together this Gemara, with the Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Makkos, comes out that Bnei Noach all over the world are obligated to establish Batidinim b'chol year v'year, and the Jews only have an obligation b'chol year v'year, and Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Lord, we don't have an obligation. So how do you understand that Bnei Noach have a greater obligation than the Jews? So the answer is that Bnei Noach live all over the world kavua. The Jews only live in Eretz Yisrael Kavua. The Jews live in Chutz Lord, that's only Bikroi B'Alma. So the Jews have less of an obligation to establish Batidinim in Chutz Lord than the Goyim have all over. It's a little strange. So the Rambam, and he says the Yad Ramah, have a different Girsa. In the Tosefta and the different editions, it has the same Girsa like it has here in the Gemara. But the Rambam quotes it differently. That the Bnei Noach only have an obligation to establish B'chol Plach U'Plach. They don't have an obligation to establish B'chol Yivir. The same as Bnei Yisrael and Chutz Lord. B'chol Plach U'Plach, Chosh Pshat means a bezin that will be sufficient to take care of all the cases. Let's say if you have a city like New York City, where you have millions of people living here, so you can't just make one court for the whole New York State. That's not charity. You have to have 25 courthouses in New York City alone. You have millions of people here. B'chol plach u'plach means if the court will meet every day, kemat every day, take a vacation once in a while, but if the court will meet kemat every day, so they'll be able to take care of all the cases in a timely fashion, that the people won't have to wait six, as it is now, they have to wait 6 months. So b'chol plach u'plach means you have to have a court system. The Jews and the Nochrim, everybody has to have a court system. They'll take care of all the cases in a timely fashion. In Eretz Yisrael, that's not sufficient. Even though if you'll establish B'chol Plach U'Plach, that'll be sufficient to take care of all the cases, there's an obligation to establish B'chol Yivir. What do you mean B'chol? Even though it's not necessary. So what are they going to do B'chol Yivir? It means they'll only meet twice a week, or 3 days a week, whatever. So what do you have to establish B'chol Yivir if everything would be taken care of if you have B'chol Plach U'Plach? You have to show that Eretz Yisrael is Mekom HaMishpat, that it's a wonderful country, and all the issues are taken care of by the legal system, by the court system. So within this din that you have an obligation to establish an Eretz Yisrael b'chol ear v'ear, then now the question is, there must be some minimum population that the city has to have in order that it should have an obligation to establish a bezin in the city. What's the minimum population? So we already discussed, we had a Ravid in Hilchas Megillah who speaks about Mikra Megillah. There are three Zmanim from Mikra Megillah. There's Zman Baisheni. There used to be three Zmanim. There used to be the Bnei HaYoris used to lay the Megillah on Yudalit. Bnei HaKrachim, Krachmam Kavuschan Laisu Shibanun Malay Megillah on Tezvot. And the Bnei HaKfarim used to be Magdimim Liyoy Maknisim. How do you determine whether it's a Krach? So if it's Mukav Chayim Laisu Shibanun, if it's a city, and if a guy has a farm and he makes a Mukav Chayim, it doesn't make it into a Mukav Chayim. It has to be Ayoris HaMukavuschan Laisu Shibanun. A guy in Queens, they have these Russians in Queens, they build a fence around the whole house. So it becomes a Mukav Chayim. It's not the Moshe Shibanun. Okay. Let's say he'll buy a place that had a Mukav Chayim. That's not, it has to be a year HaMukav Chayim. So what's the definition of a year? So we said the Mishnah is an Erech, and an Erech is saying in order to be called a year, it has to have a certain configuration. The layout has to be that you have to have a minimum of Gimel Chatzeres, and each Chatz has to have a minimum of two Batim. And then you have to have a minimum population the Ravid adds on. So what's the minimum population? So the Ravid in Hilchos Megillah quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin Tezvov on the base. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. In order to have the din of Yoni Dachas, you have to have either a minimum population of 10. It's a little humorous. 10 people living in a location with two chatzeris, three chatzeris, and two batim each. How can you have 10 people? Each person lives in his own bayis. Okay. Two chatzeris, three chatzeris, and two batim each means that you have a minimum of 6 batim. So who, and you have 10 people living in the city. So you have two people, you have 6 people living in 6 homes, and then 4 of the 6 homes have 2 people. In other words, 4 of the people are married, they live with their wives, and the other 2 people are single. And that's an year. That's one opinion. And the other opinion is a little more reasonable, that's a wee paskin, you have to have a minimum population of 100 people. So the Ravid is mitzaref, this machlokes satanayim, whether the minimum population of the city is 10 or 100, says not only a machlokes benigia to irani dachas on tezvav and mebeis, machlokes in kol haterakula. A city has to have a configuration. That's the mishnayos in Erechin and in Erevin. In Erevin, it's talking about the din of tchum. Whenever you have an ear, so the whole ear is considered kedalat amos, and you measure alpaim amos outside of the city. So it's only by medvar mamurim if the city is constructed in such a way that it conforms to the rules and regulations of Hilchas City. So what's called Hilchas City? So the Mishnah in Erechin says, you have to have Gimel Chatzeres, and have to be close to each other, a certain proximity, Tosfos discusses there within Shiva Mama B'Shirai. You have to have Gimel Chatzeres, and each one has to have a minimum of 2 batim. And the Mishnah in Erechin is talking about the din of Ayoris HaMukav Chayim and Moshe Shul Benun. It only has the din of Mukav Chayim if it's an ear. Sama Sora, then if it's Mukav Chayim, it doesn't have a din of an ear. So the writer relates this to Kol HaTerakula, the minimum population. So this we would have said on our own, that the obligation that it says on Tezainim and Amid Beis, that in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, the Rambam says, the Gemara says, you don't have an obligation to establish a Bezin B'chol Ir V'Ir, only B'chol Plach U'Plach. In Eretz Yisrael you have an obligation, even if you don't need the Bezin, it's not really necessary to have a Bezin B'chol Ir V'Ir to take care of the cases. If you have B'chol Plach U'Plach, it would be enough to take care of the case. Nonetheless, that's the mitzvah of Hamoras Dayanim B'chol Ir V'Ir. And they won't meet every day, so they'll only meet twice a week, three times a week, to the extent that it'll be necessary. So that din that you have an obligation, b'chol year v'year, that's only if the location has, if the place has the status of an year. So what's the minimum population you should have? So I would have said 100. If you have less than 100 people, that's the Ravid Gemara. If you have less than 100, it's not called an year, there's no chiv. So the Mishnah says that's a davar pashut, you need 100. The Mishnah says you need more than 100. So there's a machlokes hatanaim on base on the base. Kama yehebu ir to hebu yehebu sanhedrin. What's the minimum population? You have to have more than 100. If you only have 100, 105, 110, 115 people, you're still not mechayiv. Not enough to be mechayiv you to establish a bez mechayiv. So the first time it says 120, and that's how we pask, and Ram Nechemi says you have to have a minimum of 230 people living in the city. So what's that is 120. So the Gemara discusses on Yud Zayin on the base Maybe yes, or may I be the tithes. The last 15 lines on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Where does the Shia come from? Of 120. So the Gemara has a very, the Rambam quotes the whole Gemara, very humorous judgment of what's going on in the makeup of the city. You have, from the 120 people, you have 92 people sitting in Kailuk, just sitting and learning. And then you have after 4 or 5 Balabatim working for a living, and these 4 or 5 Balabatim, they have to support this whole big institution. You have to have a Sanhedrin Tana consisting of 23 Dayanim, and they have to have in front of them 3 shuras of Talmidim. Each shura has to have 23 Talmidim there. So you have already 23 times 4. 23 members of the Bezim plus 23 shuras. So 23 times 4 is 92. So you got to have right away 92, minimum of 92. But we would have set out our own 100. You have to have a minimum of 100. So the Gemara is going to push for more than 100. How do you get to 120? So they make this cheshbon. You have to have a minimum of 92 haritushim etarti. Then you have to have asara batlanim shel beis hakneses. Where does that come from? What kind of a din is that? The Rashi refers you to Megillah daf gimlam and beis. The Gemara says a Megillah, it doesn't have the status of a krach. In order to have the status of a krach, what do we have this zman hazeh? We don't have any longer any 3 zmanim of mikra Megillah. The Gemara says after the churban by sheni, we no longer have the din of b'nei hakforim akzimim liyoyim aknisim. That if you live in the little villages on the outskirts of the big cities, you can lay the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday, on the Thursday before Purim. If Purim doesn't fall out on Monday or Thursday, but then the Mishnah permits them, akula, the Mishnah permits them, if they want to lay the Megillah on Purim, is better. But if they want to adopt the kula, we would permit them to lay the Megillah before. So the Gemara says that kula only applied to Zman Shei Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim, and after the Churban Bayis Sheni, it's going to be too confusing, so we no longer allow that. So the Gemara said, Zman Hazeh, we only have 2 Zmanim. Shulchan Aruch, we only have 2 Zmanim. If you live in an Ir HaMakef HaSchem, and Mimosu Yishuv Benun, you lay the Megillah on Tezvot. And if you live anywhere else, you lay the Megillah on Yudalot. In order to be considered an Ir HaMakef HaSchem, it has to first be an Ir, and then has to be a Mukef HaSchem, Mimosu Yishuv Benun. So you first have to establish that it's an Ir. So the Gemara says, Kol, Rashi quotes from Megillah Dav Gimel Am Beis, Kol Krach, Sheimu Asor Batlonim, Nidon Kikvar. If you don't have 10 batlanim living in the city, it doesn't have the din of a city. It doesn't have the full din of a city. What says asara batlanim? What are the asara batlanim? The Rashi interprets that the asara batlanim is an allusion to the Gemara and Brachas Davov and Mabeis, that you want to have a minion. You want to have a minion kavu on the Beis HaKnesses, Shachris Mincha Meir, 3 times a day. That's how Rashi writes. And who are they? Why are they called batlanim? Asara ben yodim b'teilim mikol malach liyos mizamon beis hakneses shachas v'yarvus, as it says in Brachas that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the beis hakneses, v'lamot tel sham asara miyad hu koyis. So Rashi learns that's the asara batlon. You look in the Rambam, when the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah, Perek Aleph in Hilchas Megillah, quotes that Gemara from Megillah, Dav Gimlam and Beis, you get the impression that the Rambam does not agree with Rashi, that the asara batlonim are the 10 people who are going to constitute the minyan kavua and the Beis HaKnesses Shachris Mincha Mari. Other Rishonim do not learn like Rashi. They learn Asar Batlonim means the 10 people who are mamunas to take care of everything that you need in the city. You need a policeman, you need a fireman, you need a mayor, you need a mail carrier, you need a garbage collector, whatever you need, 10 people to do the Tzarchei Ha'ir. Those are the Asar Batlonim. It doesn't mean Batlonim in the sense they don't work for a living. B'teilim mikol malach liyos mizmanim l'spal beis haknesses. You gotta have tefillah b'tzibah zelachut. Everybody should daven a minyan. Well, Rashi sounds like he's saying these 10 guys, they're gonna be there in charge of making the minyan every day, and the other 110 people daven tefillahs every day. They only don't go to shul on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and they don't go to work. It's a little strange. Sometimes they do come to shul. Sometimes they don't come to shul. That's what it sounds like for Rashi. So the other Rishonim learn, no, everybody has to come to minyan. You don't have 10 people. The 10 ultra-Orthodox Jews, they're designated as the official minion. No, the 10 Asar Batlanim who don't work for a living, they work for the government. They are the government. They run all the Tzorchei HaKohol. That's how the Rambam stands. That's how the Miri writes there in Megillah Dabkin. Asar Batlanim are the people who do the work for the city. So that's, he just elevated it from 92 to 102. Hare Meyotre. Then you have Vaita, this this Beis Din has already 92 people. 92 people in the 23 Dayanim and all the rest are Talmidim sitting and working on the case. Then you have to have Shnei Sofrim. A Beis Din has to have two scribes to record everyone's ideas. That's the Mishnah later in the Sanhedrin. Then you have to Shnei Chazarim. In Shluchei Beis Din, Rashi said. What do you need Shluchei Beis Din for? The Rashi says to deliver Hazmonis to the Bali Dinim, and when it's necessary to give Malkus, so they give the Malkus. Then you have to have Shnei Bali Dinim. If you don't have any, the main function of the Beis Din 23 is to administer Dinim Nefashim, but they're also going to take care of Dinim Mammon. So if you're not going to have two, Reuven and Shimon, to have a Din Torah between, so there are not going to be any cases coming up. So you might have got to have two Bali Dinim. Then you have to have Shnei Edim who can testify. Why do you need the two Edim have to be from the city? Two Edim can't be from the Chutzlir. No one travels in. I don't know. You have to have two Edim. Then you have to have, it has to be Edish at the Ochel Azima. You have to have another two who can possibly be Magim the first two. Then you have to have the possibility of Zamame Zamame, Shnei Zamame Zamame. Okay. So the Gemara says, we've added it up. The Rambam quotes the whole Cheshmi. Sounds like it's a humorous. So we've added it up to Harei Me'ovi Abesa. We added up to 114. So we have to figure out who are the extra six that we're adding on. Who are the additional six? So Rashi learns the next line, the Tanya. So the additional five are going to be the Kupa Nigbis Bishnaim, Umischalekis Bishloisha. You need two Gaboim to collect the docket. The Gemara Bavas explains why you need two. Because one, you don't give them honors. You have two Gaboim to collect the docket. Umischalekis Bishloisha, you have to have three to determine how to distribute the money. So Rashi understands that this is a full-time job. To collect the tzedakah and to distribute the money has to be done by two different groups of people. The two and three in higher mathematics adds up to five. So that's five people. The Rambam says, well, you need five people. You need two people to collect the tzedakah, and when they decide to distribute it, you should add on a third guy. So that's three people can take care of the whole collection with the distribution of the tzedakah. So Rashi learns that it's two lechud and three lechud is five. So we're only missing one person. Because we had so far 114, so we were missing six. So you have the Kupish of Zdok and Nigvis Bishnaim, Meshchalakis Bishlosha, five of the six. So who are the remaining, who's the remaining one person? The Rashi says, oh, he's the Kolbeinik. He's the guy who does everything. What is that? He's the doctor, the moyel, the shoichet, the scribe, and the malamis. Right. One guy. That's what Rashi says. That's Chad Gav HaVilachol Hani. There's one person, that's the last two lines in Rashi. The Reifei, the doctor, Uman, the Moyal, the Lavla, the scribe, the Malamed, and the Sheikhei, the way we have in parentheses, these four or five functions are done by one person. That's one individual. And the Rambam, who said that the Tzedakah is Nigdus Bishnayim, Mischalekas Bishlosha, when it's time to distribute the Tzedakah, you add a third person, so you only used up three people, so you have three people left. The Rambam says, the Rambam was a doctor, full-time doctor. He didn't have time to be the Sheikhet also, and the Moyal also, and the Malamitinakis also. So the Rambam holds you got to have a separate person as the doctor. So the Rambam says, you got to have three people over here. So which one did he throw out over here? Well, the Malamit is one, and the doctor and the Moyal is one, and the Sefer is the third one. The Rambam makes a cheshbon. It's a very strange cheshbon. So the Gemara says that's why you, instead of saying the minimum population is 100, that's what we would have said. Minimum population should be 100 because otherwise it's not called in a year. That was the Gemara from before on Tezayin. Where was that? By the year of Nidachas, on the bottom of Tezvav on the base. So this Tana says, no, you got to have 120 for a different cheshbon. You have to have 120. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to have a Sanhedrin Tana of 23. And the next time, the Reb Nechemi says, you got to have a minimum population of 230. Why the lucky number of 230? So he says in the Mishnah, Keneged Sorei Asorei. So Rashi explains, because when you appoint, when you are Memana, a Sanhedrin Tano consisting of 23 Dayanim, it's already considered a Sorei. Just to serve as a member of a Sanhedrin, there's already a sorora over the people who live in the city. This is really a machlokes Rashi and Tesis that we already discussed, and this sounds like Tesis, not like Rashi. So we had the Tesis on Lamed Vav on the base, Chodah Lasuye Ger. The Tesis quotes from a Gemara in Yevamos, But the Gemara says that a ger dan chaver hager. A ger can be done another ger, but he cannot be done as a Yisrael. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Sem tasim alecha melech." When you appoint the king, mikerav achecha tasim alecha melech. Mikerav achecha means mimuvcho shebachecha. You have to have a big yichus, a good yichus. You can't appoint a non-Jew. So the Gemara says in Yevamos, it means more than that. You cannot appoint one who has a weaker yichus to a position of Sarara over those who have a better yichus. You cannot appoint a ger to a position of Sarara. Let's say you'll appoint a ger to be the melech over Klal Yisrael. So if Klal Yisrael would only have gerim, so then there wouldn't be any problem. A ger can be a mamuna on top of the other ger, but among Klal Yisrael, some of them are gerim, some of them are non-ger. So that's included in the pasuk. You cannot appoint a ger to a position of sarara over the non-ger. So the Gemara says in Yevamos that a ger dan chaver hager. See the Tosfos Lamed Vav on the base. Chodol asli ger. So they quote from Yevamos Daf Kuf base. Ger dan chaver hager dvar Torah. Vayseima mi Yisrael dan afili Yisrael. A ger is not allowed to be dan as a Yisrael. It can only be dan as a ger. So there's a machlokes. Where does that come from? The pasuk only speaks about melech, about minoy hamelech. So the Gemara there in Yevamos says it says kefal ashen sim tasim kol mesim is b'masma. Doesn't only allude to minoy hamelech. It goes on all positions of soror. The Gemara says even with respect to appoint a person to be the president of a labor union. If you're the president of a labor union, if there are members of the union who are non-gerim, so you're not allowed to appoint a ger to be the president of that union. Because it says, Sam Tosim, Kol Masim is B'mashim. That's the Shiloh, the Sifrei has a comment, Sam Tosim Alech HaMelech, Melech V'loi Malko. That you're not supposed to appoint a woman as the king, as the head of Medina Tisrael, Eretz Yisrael. So if you're going to say, Kol Masim is B'mashma, going to say Yomamayit Isha and Yomamayit Ger, and then you say some person called the same as Mashma should follow. That's how the Rambam writes, that you're not supposed to appoint neither a Ger nor an Isha to any position of Sarara over men, over Israel. So then it follows from the Rambam that you can't appoint a woman to be the president of a shul unless the shul is only for women, a women's prayer group. So a woman can be the president of a women's prayer group, but a woman should be the president of a shul. It depends what the job of the president is. If the president's job is just to send out the letters, just to serve as a secretary, so that's not a sorority. But if the president has a right to make some decisions without consulting the other members of the board, so that's already an issue of sorority. So that's the Rav's Soloveitchik. You can say based on that Rambam. The Rambam says like that you're not supposed to appoint a woman to any position of sorority over men. Rav Moshe Feinstein says he has rayas that the Rishonim don't agree with the Rambam. He admits the Rambam is the Rambam. And he thinks that we don't necessarily have to follow the Rambam. He says that he thinks Kol Masim is B'mash Momi goes on Ger. We split it. Kol Masim is you're not allowed to appoint a Ger to any position of Sarara over Yisrael. That's only a Ger. But in Isha, that's only for Melech. But for other Masimas, it is permissible. And he thinks that he has rights from the Rishonim to prove that that's the case. So regarding this din of the Ger, Dan Chaveira HaGer, Abelo, Isa Yisrael, here there's a Machlekes Rashi in Texas. What is that referring to? Is it din in mamonis or is it din in nefashis? Because the Gemara on Lamed Vav Amid Beis says that there is a difference between mamonis and nefashis. The Rashi Shita is very lenient. Rashi Shita is that a ger can be danis ha-yisrael din in mamonis. That's not a problem. What's the sarara? There is no sarara. He's just postulating what the din is. It's not a matter of life and death. If you're being done din in nefashis, you're gonna put him to death, or you're gonna acquit him, whatever. So that's sarara. You're taking his life into your hands, so that's quite a determination. So to be dandin in the fashas for Israel, that's considered a sorora, so you can't have a ger. But to be dandin in mamonis, Rashi says b'chalal no problem. A ger can be done as a Yisrael. And Tosfos reads everything in the Gemara and the Chumer. The Gemara drew a distinction. The Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Beis and Sanhedrin draws a distinction between mamonis and the fashas. What it means is the following: in the fashas, you cannot have a ger, even dan chaver hager, because just to serve as a member of a Sanhedrin Ktana is already a sroor. Because they don't just sit on their own. The Sanhedrin Ktana is considered a sroda over the people who live in their city. A city appoints a Sanhedrin Ktana. So they're considered as if the members of the Sanhedrin are considered as if they have the exercising sroda over all the people who live in the city. So unless you have a city that's called on Gerim. But Masabah, there is no such city in Eretz Yisrael. Every city has some Gerim and some Yisraelim. Why not? You have to have a happy blend. So you're not allowed to have a Ger appointed to be a member of Sanhedrin Ktana, period. So you can't even dal chaver ager. If you have a din terev, dini mamanis, just to be a member of a bezdin of three, that per se is not a sror over everybody. That's not a minui. A bezdin of three is an ad hoc bezdin. You get together, you make a bezdin. So if you're going to be down the Yisrael, if a ger is going to serve as a member of the bezdin to be down the Yisrael, then it's called sror. To be down chaver ager, that's okay. But to appoint, Tosfos says that to appoint a ger to serve as a member of a Sanhedrin Ktana, even to be dan chaver ager, just to serve as a member of a Sanhedrin Ktana, that's already a violation of Sorora. That's Tosfos Shita. So the Pashta says that that's what Reb Nechemya, we don't paskin like this Tana Reb Nechemya in the Mishnah. But that's l'chor where Reb Nechemya is driving at. He says, you have to have, in order for a city to appoint a Bezdin of 23, you have to have a minimum population of 100, that's a Dov Pashta. Less than 100 is not called a city. Okay? That was derived in Hilchos Megillah. But how did he jack it up to 230? So he says, because Keneged Sari Asaris. So Rashi explains on the Mishnah, based on the base, because each member, Shehe Kolecha Mi Bezdin, each one of the 23 members of the Sanhedrin Ktana is considered as if he's a Sar Al Asara. Just appointing the 23 members to the Sanhedrin, that itself is an act of Sarara. Before they've done anybody, but just to be appointed is to serve as members of a Sanhedrin Ktana, that itself is a story. So Rashi is learning in Reb Nechemya the way Tosfos wrote. Alam involved on a bench, just to serve as a member of a Sanhedrin Ktana is already an act of sorority. How come Rashi doesn't paskin like that? Because we don't paskin like Reb Nechemya. Okay. We paskin against Reb Nechemya. So Rashi holds that just to be a member of a Sanhedrin Ktana, that is not a sorority over anybody. If it would have been a Sror over anybody, you would have had to accept Reb Nechemya's opinion. You don't have a Sror of Pachas Me'asor. You have Sori Asoris. So Mestame Rashi Shita is because we don't pass like Reb Nechemya is a good guy. So we don't accept this opinion. So that's according to Rashi, it's a fundamental machlok. According to Tosfos, everybody really agrees that to serve as a member of a Sanhedrin Ktana is a Sror. The Chachamim in the Mishnah only disagree with Reb Nechemya. You can have a Sror even less than Sori Asoris. When Moshe Rabbeinu was appointing the Hamadus Adayonim, so the smallest Sror that he had was over 10 Sori Asoris. So here you have a Bezna of 23 who have a Sror over the whole population of the city. There are more than 10 people in the city. Tosfos learns that the Chachamim disagree with Reb Nechemya. It's not necessary for each member of the Sanhedrin, each of the 23 members has to have B'chuvin Kenegdai, 9 balabatim, that he's the Tsar of 10. He's the Tsar of 10. No, why do you have to slice the city into 23 parts? You have to have 230, and each member of the Sanhedrin Ktana is the Tsar over the remaining 9. No, the whole Sanhedrin Ktana have a Sror over all the people in the city. So you have more than 10 people in the city. So there's no problem. Tosfos learns that that's the machlokes. And Rashi apparently learns no. That is a more fundamental machlokes, that we don't accept Reb Nechemya's opinion, means that we hold that just being appointed to be a member of a Sanhedrin Ktana per se is not a sror over anybody. When you'll be done a case of Dina Nefashis, that'll be a sror. Rashi holds to be done in Imamunis is also bechlal not a sror. And then the Gemara concludes on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the last line on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, with another two opinions. The one opinion was you have to have a minimum population of 120. The other opinion was you have to have a minimum population of 230. Those were the two shittas that appeared in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara quotes another two versions of Rebbe, the same Tana, two versions of Rebbe, that you have to have more than 230. One version is you have to have 277 minimum population. One version is you have to have 278. Where did this come from? Of such an unusual number, such an odd number, 277, 278, it's like a matri of something. So the Gemara says, no, it's a machlegs of Yudan Rabbanon, how big the Sanhedrin Gdol is, whether it's 70 or 71. So what has it got to do with anybody or anything? So Rashi explains. You start off with Sumit like Reb Nechemya, you gotta have 230. But then he holds, you have to have an additional either 40, what does he say? Either 47 or 48 people to add on to the Sanhedrin, to the Sanhedric Tana, in case the vote will be split. And Yosifa Dayanim Shnaim, you keep on adding Shnaim Shnaim up until either 70 or 71. And once you reach that point, then you don't add any more. So you have to have so many more people in the population of the city. That's strange. Why do they have to be? Why can't they be from the remaining 250? Why can't they be from the remaining 200 people in the city? Those that you're going to add on. Why do they have to have in addition to the 230? I don't know. Sure. Okay. But we pass in 120. We don't pass in this whole story. Okay, let's see. Kohen Gadol, next pair. Kohen Gadol. Where does this parak come from? Parak Kohen Gadol. The bottom Tosfos discusses it, because in the first Mishnah they gave you a brief din of the Kohen Gadol. That usually din in the Nefashos is judged with a bezin of 23, but the din in the Nefashos of the Kohen Gadol, then you need a bezin of 71. In one of the rare cases that you require a bezin of 71 to a judge. So since we mentioned one din of the Kohen Gadol, so we want to finish off. We're not going to finish off all the dinim of the Kohen Gadol. Many of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol appear in Makkos. That Mises HaKohen Gadol is Matzah Saratzeh from the Ori Mikvah. It goes on. So you have there a little bit of a discussion of the Kohen Gadol. Then you have in Yume, how do you make a Kohen Gadol? Either with Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcho, or with Ribud Godim towards the end of the Tekufah Spice Rishon. It says in Divrei Hayamim that Yoshio HaMelech was Gainez this in Senes Amon with the Orim, with the Luchas, with the Shemen Amishcha in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. So from that time on there was no Shemen Amishcha. So how did they ever have a Kohen Gadol? So they didn't, so the Gemara explained, the Mishnah explained, they didn't have any longer any Mashuch, Kohen HaMashuch B'Shemen Amishcha. They had only a Merubah B'Godim. There are two kinds of Kohen Gadol. There's a Kohen Gadol who is endowed with his additional. A Kohen Hagid has a certain level of Kedusha, a higher Kedusha than everybody else. And the Kohen Gadol has a slightly higher level of Kedusha than the Kohanim Hagid. That's why it has additional mitzvahs. Kohen Gadol has additional mitzvahs over and above the Kohen Hagid. And the Gemara says there is a slight difference between a Kohen HaMashuch, the Mishnah says in Megillah. There's a slight difference in the level of Kedusha's Kohen Gadol if he's appointed a Kohen Gadol Aidei Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcho, like up until the days of Yoshua HaMelech. And from that time on, that is only appointed a Kohen Gadol through Ribud Godim. What's the difference? The Mishnah says, "Ein mei kohen hamashuach b'shemen hamishcha lekohen hamrubah b'godim ela par habo al kol hamitzvos." That's the Mishnah Megillah, first parak in Megillah, in the middle of all the Ein Beis. What does it mean ela par habo al kol hamitzvos? So there's a machlekes there, Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi says that it says in Chumash that there's an institution of par helam dover shel tzibur. That if the Bez Nagadol makes a mistake and paskins that a certain chelav is mutter, a certain dam is mutter, committed to do a chilul Shabbos, certain aspects, chilul Shabbos, kia mixas, a bikul mixas, so then, and the Rov HaTziva violates this Iser, Yesh Bakar is based on the mistake in Psaka, the Bez Nagadol, so instead of requiring of each and every person who is Mechal Shabbos, who ate the chelav adam, they should bring their own korban chatas. So we say, let the Bez Nagadol bring one palam davashal tzibur, and everybody gets a kapar. So Rashi points out that in Chumash, in Parshas Vayikra, where this parsha appears, it says that the Kohen Gadol does the avodah. Usually we think they only need a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. All year long, it's not necessary for the Kohen Gadol to do any avodah. There is a daily korban that's offered on behalf of the Kohen Gadol, chavite Kohen Gadol. He brings the minchas chavite machtisa baboyke machtisa ben abayin. It's a niskadish and the kli in the morning, the minchas chavit in a whole shir, and you mark the half of it in the morning, half of it in the evening. But the Mishnah say that the hakrova of the korban chavit the kohen gadol, the minchas chavit, the avoda doesn't have to be done by kohen gadol. He has to pay for it. He has to fund it. Of course, we have to give him enough salary. We have to pay the kohen gadol the salary that he should be able to afford to fund this minchas chavit. But the korban of minchas chavitin is offered on his behalf, and he doesn't have to be the one who's makriv it. The Mishnah says whenever he wants to, whenever the Kangoro chooses to, he can march into the Beis HaMikdash and he can be makar of any karbonis. He's above all of the mishmaris. He doesn't have to follow the whole system that you only have a right to be makar of karbonis when it's your week and it's your day. He doesn't have to follow the rules and regulations of the mishmaris because he's the Kangoro. But he has to pay for this korban. So we usually think you only need a Kangoro on Yom Kippur to do that with this Yom Kippur. So Rashi points out that it's not so. Rashi claims it's not so because you look in Chumash, it says that the par habo al kol hamitzvos par elam davashot tzibur. It says the kohen gadol does the avoida. So Rashi claims which kohen gadol can do the avoida. How often did they ever bring a par elam davashot tzibur? Maybe once in the 3,000 years in history. Maybe they never brought. They probably hardly ever brought, if at all. Yeah. Very far-fetched that the Roy Batzil, the Bez Nagodol, is going to make a mistake and the Roy Batzil is going to violate the Yisr Sheish Bakar because of the Psaka Bez Nagodol before they realize they made a mistake. The whole story is so far-fetched. But we have the Mishnais, the whole first parak in Hurrius is all about that. So Rashi claims in Megillah, in a few places in Shas, Rashi says that Par Helam Dovah Shal Tzibur, the Avodah has to be done by the Kangodol. And that's what the Mishnah says in Megillah, that only a Kangodol who has the Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishchev can do it. Kangodol, the one who has a meruba of the godim, cannot do that. So Tosfos quotes the Rashi, and they say it's all wrong. Even though it says like that in the Chumash, it says in the Chumash that Kangodol does the avoda. So Tosfos quotes the Torah's Kohanim that says that it's lav davka. A pasuk in Chumash, it says Hakohen Hamashiach, says the Kohen Hamashiach does the zvikas adam and everything. So Tosfos quotes the Torah's Kohanim that the Torah's Kohanim says in that pasuk is lav davka. You don't need a kohen gadol. So what does it mean in the Mishnah? Ein ben par haba, ein ben kohen mashuach b'shem and emeshev v'kohen meruba b'godim. And the par haba al kol ha-mitzvah. So Tosfos says no, it goes on the par kohen mashiach. There's a parsha, another parsha in Chumash and parshas Vayikra, that if the kohen gadol makes a mistake in halacha, if the kohen gadol is a learned individual, which is not necessarily the case, if the kohen gadol usually not a learned person. Let's say if the Kohen Gadol is a learned individual and he made a mistake in Psak, he made a mistake in Halacha, and he either violated Shabbos or Chela, Vedam, or Avodah Zarah, one of the Surim that has Koresh, the Shoigig, based on his Shigig as Hayroh, he made a mistake in Halacha, and then he realizes that he violated the Shoigig and Issa Sheish B'Koresh, so it's not enough. He cannot be Miskaper B'Kizbo O'Seira like a Yochid to bring a Kizbo O'Seira. He has to bring a Par Habo. I'll call our mitzvahs. That's par kohen mashiach. So that special carbon of par kohen mashiach, that doesn't. So Tosfos says, and that even though it says in Chumash the kohen gadol is makrivit, that's also lav davka. Says in the Torah's Kohanim, that's also lav davka. You don't need a kohen gadol to be makrivit. You just the kohen gadol is mechuyev to pay for it. He needs the kapara because he violated the chilul Shabbos, but he doesn't have to be makrivit. Like the Chavita Kohen Gadol that's brought every day, it doesn't have to be brought by the Kohen Gadol. He has to fund it. He has to pay for it. That it should be carved on his behalf. So the same over here. The Par HaBoal, Kol HaMitzvos, the Par Kohen Mashiach, has to be funded by the Kohen Gadol in order that it should give him an atonement. He needs the Kapar. But he doesn't have to do the Hakrovah. That's what Tosfos claims. The Tosfos says that's what the Mishnah means. The only Kohen Gadol who has to bring a separate, different kind of a carbon, a parabol kol hamitzvos instead of kizbo sira, is only if he's a kohen mashuach b'shem min hamishcha. In the days of Yoshio HaMelech An, the whole tkufa is by Sheini for hundreds of years. There were many kohanim gedolim. The Gemara says there were over 400 kohanim gedolim during the period of the by Sheini, but they never had mashiach b'shem min hamishcha. They only had meruba b'godim. So they would never be mechuyev to bring a parabol kol hamitzvos. They would only be treated like a hedyot, like any other regular individual. That if they would be Mechalal Shabbos, B'Shegeg, they have to bring a Kizbo Asira. They don't have this special din. So the Gemara in Yuma discusses the special din, and this is Mishnais and Horius talk about the Kohen Gadol Parabol Kolam. Then you have other Gemaras in the end of Yuma, but the Kohen Gadol wearing a Shemoinim Gadol. There are many different halachas. So the Tosfos here on the bottom of Yud Ches and Aleph does not mean to say that since we mentioned a line about the Kohen Gadol, we're going to cover all the Hilchos Kohen Gadol. This Perek Kohen Gadol does not contain all of the halachas of the Kohen Gadol. Most of the halachas do not appear in the second Perek in Sanhedrin. Most halachas are scattered about throughout Shas, in Yuma, in the beginning of Yuma, in the end of Yuma, in Makkis, and in Horius, in the second Perek. It's all over the place. You have to collect all the dinim. The Rambam collected all the dinim of the Kohen Gadol. But some of the dinim of Kohen Gadol are elaborated upon. So what does it say? Kohen Gadol don the donim also. So the Gemara says pshita. Why not? What's the chiddush? The Kohen Gadol is allowed to serve as a member of a bezin, and if he gets involved in a case with someone else, you can judge him. Pshita. The Gemara says no. This is in contrast to the melech, that the melech is loy don, but lo donim also. So how you talking? Why is the melech above the law? The melech is lo donim also. You can't judge the melech. Why can't the melech be done? So the Gemara says on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. On Yud Tes Amud Aleph towards the bottom. Why is the melech lo don? The lo donim also. So min ha-tara the melech is don did donim also. With the Rabbanon, we made a gzera the Rabbanon that only applies to Malchi Yisrael, doesn't apply to Malchi Beis David. We made a gzera the Rabbanon that the Malchi Yisrael are lo donim osam. You're not allowed to judge them. So once he made a din that you cannot judge them, the Rabbanon, so the Mele, the din sets in that lo don. The Melech himself is not allowed to serve as a dayan, because Rish Lakish has a comment based on the pasuk in Freyosa. In Spanya, Mark quotes it here too. Is kosher shuva kosher? What do you mean is kosher shuva kosher? On Yud Ches Amud Aleph also, I think Mark quotes it, but here they quote it in the full context. Is kosher shuva kosher means kasheit atzmucha ve'achakach kasheit acher. First straighten yourself out, and then you have a right to serve as a dayan to straighten other people out. But if you yourself can never be judged by the court, if you're a melech and a melech lo donim osam midirabbanon. And they exer the Rabbanah, Melech lo donim osam, the son of Mela, that knocks out the ability of the Melech to serve as a dayan in a case where they're judging somebody else. And what kind of a din is this? That they lo ein donim is a Melech, a din mid the Rabbanah? The Gemara tells Mishamaisa Shehoya. That's five lines from the bottom. El Malchi saw my time aloy. Why can't you judge Malchi Yisrael? That there was once a story. Yana HaMelech was a murderer, and he used to have hooligans. He killed Jews, he killed Goy. I'm a shugana. So he had once, on one occasion, it was obvious that he was always murdering people. His avadim were always killing people. On one occasion, it was absolutely obvious that one of his avadim had murdered someone. Avda Diyana Malka Kotonav, she killed someone. So Shimon ben Shetach was the brother-in-law of Yana HaMelech. He had the fortune of being the brother-in-law of Yana HaMelech. Shimon Shetach's sister, Shlom Tzion HaMalka, Queen Salome, was married to this Meshugana, Yana HaMelech. So Shimon Shetach, because he was his brother-in-law, he didn't have to worry that much. There's still what to worry about, but he's a little more chotzuf towards his brother-in-law than everybody else was. So first Shimon Shetach, Hamal HaMelechachamim, Tzunei Nechem Bo, Unadunenu. We can't let the Yevet of Yana HaMelech get away with this. It's clear to a whole population that the Yevet is Chayev Misa because he murdered somebody. So just because he's the Yevet of my crazy brother-in-law Yanai, you can't let him get off with this. You shouldn't cham for him. Lo sachnifu v'lo sisufanov. You have to be done the Yevet. So they called upon the Yevet, they sent a message to Yanai. So Yanai sent his Yevet to the Bez. So look at the Yevet. Then they sent a message, no. To an nami l'hoch. You have to appear also, as it says, v'od v'volov. They said that Yanai has to come off. So Yanai came to the court. Also Yosef comes and he sits down. So Shimon Shetach says, my dear brother-in-law, you have to stand. Allah says you have to stand, not out of respect for us, out of respect for the Rabbani Shalom. Because the king needs to be a skill. Don't feel insulted that we're telling you to stand for us. No. You have to stand in the presence of the Rabbani Shalom. So this Meshugana Yana HaMelech was very touchy. So he says, what do the other rabbis have to say about this? You're giving me a hard time, his brother-in-law. There's always friction in the family between different members. The other rabbis also agree. So he turns to the right, and they're afraid to open their mouth. Turns to the left, and they're afraid, because he's killing it, and whoever gives him a hard time, it's just Achaz Das Elhamis. So Shimon ben Shetach got very upset. So he says, Amalam Shimon ben Shetach, what's the matter? Open your mouth. Tell him what the din is. It says in the Torah, he has to stand up. The Rabbi Shalom should punish you. He tells the other members of the Senate, Rabbi Shalom should punish you because of the fact that no one is prepared to stand up for the din. So the Gemara says, a mesu. All Gabriel v'chavot and mekarka mesu. All the members of the Sanhedrin died at that time because they chamfed the melech. They didn't want to tell him what the din is, that he's supposed to stand up. So it was at that occasion that they made this Gzeirah Derabanan that Malka Yisrael lo donim osam. So since lo donim osam, so the Mele ain't a don. So that's what the Gemara says. The Mishnah is drawing a contrast. The Kain Gadol is not like the Melech. They never had any trouble with any Kohen Gadol. They had a lot of other trouble with the crazy Kohen Gadol, but not this kind of stuff like Yanei HaMelech. So this Gzeirah was only made on Malchei Yisrael. They never made a Gzeirah on Malchei Beis David. How do you know? So the Gemara quotes a Pasuk in Yirmiyah on Yud Testament Aleph. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Beis David Kaim HaShem Dino LaBoikem Mishpat. You see that Beis David can judge other people, Dino LaBoikem Mishpat. And if they can judge other people, obviously they themselves can be judged. Otherwise, it would be a violation of Reish Lakish's rule, is kosher shuba kosher. Here, Rav Rishayim find it difficult to understand what did they quote. What did Rav Yosef prove from the pasuk in Yirmiyah? Yirmiyah Novi lived centuries before the story with Yanei HaMelech. Yanei HaMelech was towards the end of the period of the Beis Sheni. Yirmiyah was in the Beis Rishon. So of course, all the Malachim at that time could judge, not only Beis David. So what does he prove from a pasuk in Yirmiyah that Beis David still have the right to be done? That's before they made the Gzeirah. Maybe the Gzeirah was made on everybody. But that's why Rabbi Kiveger on the side of the Gemara refers you to the Shar HaMelech, who quotes the Shita Mekubetzes on, there is a Shita Mekubetzes on Sanhedrin, who quotes the Tosfei HaRosh. We have the Tosfei HaRosh. Okay, we don't need the whole Shar HaMelech with the Shita Mekubetzes. We have the Tosfei HaRosh on Sanhedrin. So the Tosfei HaRosh says, what's pshat in Rabbi Yosef? How did Rabbi Yosef prove anything from a pasuk in Yirmiyah? If the story with Yirmiyah, the Nuavua of Yirmiyah was way before the Maisa, the incident with Yanei HaMelech. So the Tosfei HaRosh has a suggestion that when the Chachamim make a Gzeira Derabanan, they don't have the ability to make a Gzeira Kenega Dov HaMefurish Batanach. Not only Kenega Dov HaMefurish B'chumish, B'chamish U'chumish Torah, they can't make a Gzeira Derabanan even Kenega Dov HaMefurish Batanach. So since this is an explicit pasuk in Yirmiyah, Beis David Dina Laboik HaMishpat, so the Mele, they didn't have the koyach to make the Gzeira so far. And this is a famous debate in Rishayim and in Achrayim. The Achrayim quote is Beferish. There are Tosfos in, half of the Tosfos in the Shas say like the Tosfei HaRosh, and half of the Tosfos in the Shas say against the Tosfei HaRosh. One of the famous Mekoros is the Gemara in the end of Cheskel Sabbatim. The Gemara has not really an agarata discussion. At the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Romans wiped out so many Jews. They killed so many Jewish lives. So a suggestion was made by the Balabatim to the Rabbanim, maybe we should prohibit getting married. What do we accomplish by getting married and having more children? So we'll just give the Nazis more Jewish people to kill. So maybe we shouldn't get married, and so they won't. It's an act of futility. They're just going to kill more Jews, so maybe we shouldn't get married. So the Gemara says it's an interesting idea, but it's not going to work. It's a Gzeirah Shein Rei Batzi B'Chodem Lamed Boy. Because most people fall in love, and you can't tell them that they shouldn't get married, they shouldn't have any children. So therefore, they never made the Gzeirah. Sure. But the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer, Siman Aleph, but since the correct thing really should have been that they should have made such a, they should have instituted such a Gzeirah, that we really shouldn't get married and have children. But the only thing is that it's just not feasible. How can you tell a young guy that he shouldn't get married? The boy's going to fall in love. You can't tell him. He's not going to listen to you. So let's say if a person refuses to get married, a guy wants to sit and learn based marriage, he's not interested in getting married, period. So normally we would say, you're kaifala mitzvah. We would force the guy to get married. How exactly would we force him to get married? Who? Which girl are we going to pick? Who's going to agree to marry him? He doesn't want to get married. So what kind of a marriage is going to be? I don't know. So normally bisman, this man Bayis Sheni, before the Churban HaBayis, we would be kaif ala mitzvah. The guy doesn't want to shake a lulav, so makanosa should take tinafsha. The guy doesn't want to eat matzah, the guy doesn't want to get married, so we would be kaif for him to get married. So the Ramah quotes the Mordechai that since this man is the more correct practice really should be that nobody should get married and have any children, because we're just going to have more Jewish lives for the Nazis to kill. Even though the Maisa, they never made the Gzeirah, but if the guy wants to not marry, he's really doing the right thing. So it doesn't make sense to force him. So the Ramah says that Bizman is there, Yesham and Bizman is there, not Kaifim, I'm Piribiribi. That's the Ramah. The Ramah B'Shem HaMordechai. So the Mordechai usually presents the Shitas of the Balei HaTez. The Ramah Mordechai was the Talmud of the Maharam Gutenberg, It was the end of a long period of Bali Atesis, years after years after years. They had many, many Bali Atesis. So the Mordechai was at the end of this whole period. So on that daf, in the end of Cheskes Abatim, there's a little Tesis that's only a 2 or 3 line Tesis, where Tesis comments on this Gemara that it says, the suggestion was made to the Rabbanim, they should make Gzeira, no one should get married, and they shouldn't bring any children into the world. So Tesis says, what do you mean no one should get married? Sachat Pasik and Chumash, through Rehu. One of the Taryag Mitzvahs HaSari is supposed to get married and have children. So Tesis says, it doesn't mean that they should make Gzeira, the Rabbanim, no one should get married. It's the last daf in Cheskes Abatim, daf Samach on the base. So the Tesis is Dima Mafsil, Dinhu Shenigzer al Atzmenu, Shalom Lisa Noshim. That's the Lashon of Gemara. We really, more correct should be, we should make a Gzeira, Shalom Lisa Noshim. But it's a Gzeira Shen Rei Batzi B'Cholam Lama. It's the last 10 lines in Cheskes Abatim. So the Tesis says, Temo, Oksif Pru Revu. How can you make a Gzeira Derabon against the Pasuk in Chumash? So the Mordechai says, what's the problem? It's a Gzeira. Yesh Perch Yach HaChomim. They're not telling you Bekumli Yasei to violate one of the Yisurim in the Torah. They're telling you, like they tell you, when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, don't blow shofar. When Sukkot falls on our Shabbos, don't shake a lulav. When you have a bris milah on Shabbos, and the only way to perform the bris is by carrying the knife and the karmelis, so don't carry the knife and the karmelis, and don't perform the bris milah. Wait till Sunday morning. Don't do the bris on Shabbos, even though according to the Din D'Oraisa, there's no prohibition against carrying in a karmelis, but with the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to carry in the karmelis. So those are all examples that the Gemara has in the Yevamos, and that's Tzadik. So the Tesis says, it says Pruravu. So the Mordechai says, what's the kasha? Pruravu, but Yeshkach Laka B'Shevi Altasta. So Tesis doesn't hold like that. So they say, B'Shema, maybe the Gzera would have only been, if we would have made such a Gzera, would have only been Alosam on those couples, Shikrakim or Piri Verivya, those already have a son and a daughter. So the Gzera would have been that they shouldn't have more than the basic minimum. They should just fulfill the mitzvah of having a son and a daughter, and then call it quits. And then they shouldn't have any more. But the Gemara says, Zarish al Avram will be kola, the Jewish nation will disappear. How are we going to disappear? If everyone has a son and a daughter, so we'll reproduce ourselves. So Taisa says, nah, it's still going to disappear. It's not going to work. We won't multiply. Zarish al Avram kola, shalayalad ala benabas. That's what Taisa's interprets. So the commentaries, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has a sefer on Baba Basra, Pnei Shlomo, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Gansri, has a sefer. So he says, Baba Tosis Kashe, Pururvu, but Yeshkach Laka B'Shevi Al Tassus. So he says, obviously, Tosis thinks like this, Shita Mekubet, with B'Shein Tosvi Harosh, and many other Tosis in hold like that. That the Kalal of Yeshkach Laka B'Shevi Al Tassus is only, if it's not Kenega Dova HaMafurish B'Tanach, but if it's a Mefurish Apostle, Pururvu, let's say Kia Shofar doesn't say explicitly that you blow Shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos. It's self-understood. Why not? What's the difference? On the level of the Raita, it does make a difference whether Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos or on a weekday because Kia Shofar is not a Malacha. It doesn't say explicitly in Chumash that you shake a lulav even when Sukkot falls down on Shabbos. It's self-understood. What's the problem? It's only a Gzeira Midrabbanan. But since it's not Mefurish in the Chumash, so that's why the Chachamim had the ability to make a Gzeira Derabbanan. They said no. In the Chumash it says you blow shofar, you shake a lulav. That's if it falls out on a weekday. It doesn't say explicitly that even if Rosh Hashanah Sukkot falls out on a Shabbos, that therefore the Chachamim had the authority to make a Gzeira Derabbanan. Vakiris dov min ator b'shevi altas. But the biyoker dov mafurish b'ator to do away with the whole din of Pru Revu. So that's what Tosfos apparently thinks, that they don't have the koyach to do like that. That's the famous Taz. Taz writes like that. Taz quotes in the name of his father-in-law, the Bach. Yes, the Kasha. Why did the Chachamim only prohibit Kiyo Shofar? In the event that Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, because Gzeirah Shem Yavirenu, you may forget and carry. You may carry the Shofar. Dalar Amos Bishus Arabim. Why did the Gemara? Why did the Tanoim prohibit Kiyo Shofar all the time? Mishum Ashmiyako, using a musical instrument. And they made a prohibition against Hashmas Kol on Shabbos and Yom Tov. This is the Shofar. Is it Kli HaMiyuchad LaHashmas Kol? So the Taz says in the name of the Bach, no. If they're going to make a Gzeira like that, Mashmiya Kol, so they're going to do away with the whole Kiyah Shofar period. So you'll never be allowed to blow Shofar. Not when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, not when it falls down on a weekday. So that they can't do. That's against the Pasuk and Chumash. even though the Chachamim have authority to be Yoyke Dov Man HaTor B'Shevi Al Tase, but not Kenega Dov HaMefurish B'Tor. So that's the famous Svara of the Tzai, B'Shem HaBa. He quotes it in three different places in Shulchan Aruch, quotes it there in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, and in other places as well. And the Achronim point out that this is what the Tosfei HaRosh writes on Ardav, and that Tosfos in Baba Basra, and Cheskes HaBatim, and the Tosfos in Zeh Neshech, Tosfos in all over the place. There are half of the Tosfos in support this Svara, and half of the Tosfos in clearly disagree with this. So that's the major problem. If you don't accept this Svara, so it's hard to understand what Rabbi Yosef is driving at. What does Rabbi Yosef prove? That the Gzeira de Rabbanan that was made in the days of Shimon ben Sheta only applied to the Malchus Yisrael, cannot possibly apply to the Malchus Beis Dovid because of the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah Navi was centuries before Yanai HaMelech. So how do you prove anything from the pasuk in Yirmiyah Navi? So the Tosfei HaRosh said this story, the Chachamim don't have the ability to make a Gzeira kenege dovah hamefurish b'tanach. But if you don't accept that svara, so what's takab shat in Rabbi Yosef? Is that a problem? Okay. So Nachum, I'll let you again. So the Gemara explains that the first line in the Mishnah in Perek Kohen Gadol is in contrast to the middle of the Mishnah. It says Hamelach lo don v'lo donim also. So it says the Kohen Gadol is not so. The Kohen Gadol is done v'donim also. And the same thing made umidim also. That's in contrast to the Melach, that the Melach is lo made lo midim also. Yeah. What's that halach? The melech is lo meid. So that the Gemara here never discusses. Lo meid is only a din de rabbanon, or is that a din de right? So what's the story with lo meid? That the melech cannot testify. Lo meid also, you can't testify for the king because ain't dalim is a melech. Okay? So we know that's a din de rabbanon, lo meid also. What about the din of lo meid? That the melech is not kosher lahoid. If someone else has a court case, why is the melech not meid? So that's a gemara in the last perek in Yuma, the beginning of the last perek in Yuma, and it's also a gemara in Shavuot Eidus. The gemara, it sounds like it says that the melech is, the gemara draws a contrast between a melech and a mesachik bekuvia. And a mesachik bekuvia is only pasul Eidus min the rabbanon. And the melech, it sounds from the gemara, is pasul Eidus min the araisa. That's the pasha to reading in the gemara. The simple reading of the Mordechai. The Rambam clearly has a different shita, because the Rambam talks about the Melech being kosher. So the Rambam, Rabbi Eliezer Shach, shows in his Sefer, he quotes Minchas Chinuch, and he adds on, the Rambam has a different understanding of the Gemara. But the Pashtus, many Rishonim understood the Gemara like Rashi, like the Rashba there in Shavuos, that the Melech is posuleidus menater. That's the question, why? Why is the Melech posuleidus menater? What is the Shulchan? What is that Rasha? He's a Karev, he's a Rasha. What did he do? Just because he's the Melech, Bishul Shani Zochei Hibsadati, because he's the Melech, so he's postulated. Why should he be postulated? So the Dvar Avraham has a tshuva in the third chelik of the Dvar Avraham, where he collects the three different suggestions that were given by the Rishonim. Why should we consider the Melech as postulated minatur? So the Rashi gives the simplest pshat. The other Rishonim give complicated. Rashi gives a simple pshat that the melech, it would constitute a priestess hakoved. We have a chiyuv kovid towards the melech. Some tossim alecha melech. The Gemara says shetehei moso alecha ema. Ema means a high degree of kovid, even moro. Ema means moro. Not only do we have to show kovid melech, and we have to show moro towards the melech. Some tossim shetehei moso alecha. So usually there is a din. If a person knows testimony and he doesn't come to court to tell the Haggadah Seder, so he's in violation of the mitzvah in lo yagid v'nasa avono. The original pasuk in lo yagid v'nasa avono, at the end of Parshas Vayikra, is in a din terah bin adam l'chaver between Reuben and Shimon. So if someone knows to testify to help Reuben get his money from Shimon, and he doesn't testify, he's going to cause a hefsid mamet. If he doesn't testify, Reuben's going to lose the money. If he does testify, Reuben will win the case. So the original pasuk happens to be speaking about the case of Hidimominus. But nonetheless, the Mishnah has later that the din of Im lo yagid v'nasa avayna even applies in din in the nefashis. Because the Mishnah has Mishnah should be around Lamed Zayin or so. It should be a Mishnah. The Mishnah says when we accept, when witnesses testify in the case of Din and Nefashas, so we threaten them and we give them a hard time to make sure that they're telling the truth. And then the Mishnah says, Shema Yoyma, maybe the aid will think to themselves, Malona will ask, what do I have to get involved in the whole case for? They're gonna give me the third degree. They're gonna interrogate me as if I'm a criminal. Well, let me stay home. So the Mishnah quotes the pasuk. No, you're obligated to go testify in court. You see from that Mishnah that the pasuk in Vayagid v'nasavayna is not restricted only to a case of dina nefashos. Here it's the top of lamed zayin on the base. Malon of a lot. So the aid will think to himself, what I have to get involved for? Halot vanem over who aid or you are them and Vayagid v'nasavayna. There is an obligation. So you see from the Mishnah that the obligation to testify, Vayikra, chapter 8, it's the end of Parshas Vayikra. So you see from the Mishnah that the obligation to testify is not restricted only to a case of Dini Mominus, it even applies to a case of Dini Nefashis. There is a Dini Mechuyif to testify. So the Gemara is going to say over here that sometimes it's a Pesis HaKovid if we demand of a person, let's say we're going to demand of the Melech, or we're going to demand of the Kohen Gadol, he must appear in front of the court and stand up in front of the three rabbis who are sitting down. He has to stand in their presence because they represent the Shechina. Like they told Yana HaMelech, Hamoi, Al Raglecho V'Yo'idu B'chor. That was the story that they said. Stand up. It's a Pchisus HaKavit from the Melech. So he says, Lo Lechneinu HaTayman, El Lechnei Mishama V'Hoye Ho'ilam HaTayman. That's why Hashem HaShetach explained it. But he felt very insulted. Yana HaMel felt very hurt about that. What do you mean I have to stand up in front of the bezel? And he refused to, and he said, what do the other rabbis have to say? And they were afraid to open their mouth. You see from the Gemara that it is an issue of a Pchisus HaKovet, to demand of the Melech that he should come and testify in the presence of the bezel. And the Gemara in Shavuos has such a concept. Tosis quotes it over here. Tosis on Yud Ches on the base, the second Tosis from the top, says that even at Tzurim and the Rabbanim, if you have a Talmud Chacham, sometimes it's a Pchisus HaKovet to demand, to expect of the Talmud Chacham that he should come and testify in a standing position. They have to stand up in the presence of the Bezdin. The members of the Bezdin are less a Talmud Chacham than he is. So I have to stand up in the presence of these rabbis. I know how to learn better than them. So the Gemara says sometimes the Talmud Chacham, but Tzurim and the Rabbanim, is potter from giving testimony. So the Rashi learns on that Gemara in Yuma. The Pashup Shani Gemara Yuma that the Melech is Pasleidus Ben Atur. The Sachet Bikubi is only Pasleidus Ben the Rabbanon. The Melech is Pasleidus Ben Atur. So Rashi, the Dvar Avram has the three Pshatim from the Rishonim. So the simple Pshat is the way Rashi learns that you can't demand of the Melech that he should testify. It'll often be, most often will constitute a Pchisus HaKovet to expect of the Melech he should stand up in the presence of the desert. And whenever you have a person who's not obligated, he's not subject to the law of Im Lo Yagid, Ibn Asavan, he's not obligated to testify, so even if he'll volunteer on his own, his aidus won't be acceptable. You're only kosher lahayid if you're subject to the din of Im Lo Yagid, Ibn Asavan. If you're not subject to that din because the chi of covet to you is so great that you can't demand of me that I should testify in court, so even if I'll volunteer the information, I want to come to testify on my own, you won't be kosher lahayid. That's how Rashi learns the Pshat in the Gemara. So that, even though the Mishnah puts it all together, HaMelech L'adon V'l'adon Amos L'Meid L'Meid No, so one out of the three is a Din Daraisa. HaMelech L'Meid, that the Gemara says is Daraisa. The others, HaMelech L'Donim Oso, that's a Din D'Radon. L'Meid No says the same as L'Donim Oso. L'Don is the result of L'Donim Oso because it's kosher v'shua kosher. Once they made it, there the Rabbanim named Dodim is HaMelech, and the Melech is laid down because it's kosher shuvah kosher. But the din of Lameyid, that the Gemara says, is a din deraisa. And Rashi and many Rishonim learn not like the Rama. Probably most of the Rishonim. The Pashtus and the Gemara is that the Melech is pasuleidus min atur.
Isn't the Gemara on Yud Tesim Beis Mashma that was part of the Gzera? Also Sha'om?
They made the full statement, yeah. All four. Also, sure, five lines from the top. At that time, when Yad HaMelech caused that all the members of the Sanhedrin died, so it says at that time they formulated this statement: Melech Ladon, Ladonim, Lomed, Lomid. And they said all four. So one of the four apparently was always the din. The halacha that the Lomayid, the Melech is postulated. I think Mar says that's their right. So Also, sure, Amru, they formulated the statement that covers all four cases. the three additional cases were added on Medrash Rabbah. That's how most of the Rishonim learned. That Amelach Lo Meid is a Din Deraisa. Amelach Lo Meid is a Din Deraisa. And the other three are the Rabbanim. So that's the Poshup Shad. The Gemara says, why doesn't say, I can't go to Don, the Don of Moshe, and made me the Moshe? It's all in contrast to the Melech. But everything by the Melech is Faker, so they can't go to like it. Then the Gemara says, another suggestion, Iboy Seima, the third wide line, on Yud Chesem and Aleph. And if you want, you can say another Taich in the Mishnah. What does it mean, HaMelech, Don him also? Kok Mashmalon, that Don him also Legolus. That if the Kohen Gadol kills the Shogeg, he too goes into Ori Miklo. The funny lotion. I Kohen Gadol don v'denemoso. The phrase donemoso is really an allusion to Golos. If he kills the Shogeg, my kamashmalon, manishtana. Why should I think that the Melech and the Gemara says and I have a Gzeiras Hakosuv that says because on the top of Hamidei since it says Lanasham Kol Ratzeach. So the word Kol is a ribui. I feel the Kohen Gadol b'mashma. Manashtana, why do I need a ribui to think that the Kohen Gadol doesn't go to the Ori Miklo? So the Gemara explains why, very simply, because the Mishnah says in Makkos that the one who goes away to the Ori Miklo is Yotzei b'misas HaKohen Gadol. So what if at the time that the Bezin made a Gemardin Legolus, you have to have a Bezin of 23 to make a Gemardin Legolus. So if the time they made the Gemardin that someone has to go to Golus, there is no Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol died and they didn't appoint a new Kohen Gadol yet. So then the Gemara says, Izena Yaitim Misham Liyolam. Because the din of Mises Kohen Gadol is a din in the Gemara din. It's not a din when the Kohen Gadol dies, he goes free. It's a din when the Bezin makes the Gemara din, they say, you have to go to the Ori Miklo Amos HaKohen HaGadol. So if there is a Kohen Gadol or several Kohanim Gadolim, you can have a few retired Kohanim Gadolim. You have a few, yet. You have five Kohanim Gadolim, the Batsachas, so if any one of them dies, so the Ratzeach Bishkoga goes free. But what if at the time that the Bezin made the Gemara Din, there was no Kohen Gadol at all? The Kohen Gadol died, and they haven't chance to appoint a new Kohen Gadol yet. So then the Mishnah says, "Ene Yotzei Misham Liyolam." That's how the Gemara quotes the top line on Yud Chesem and Beis. A hurry Kohen Gadol. He killed the Kohen Gadol b'shogeg. Right? Kohen Gadol shoharges hanefesh, and there is no other Kohen Gadol. So the Din is Ene Yotzei Misham Liyolam. So the Ratzeach Bishkoga stays in the Ori Miklo till he dies. He never has a chance to go free. So one might have thought, Ema, loli goli, one might have said, it's not fair to send him into Golos. One can argue the point that the Kohen Gadol Sharag, the Shoigeg, should never go to the Ori Miklo if there are no other Kohanim Gedolim around, because he'll never have a chance to go free. The only time you send a person into the Ori Miklo, if there's a chance that he'll be able to go free. So Kamash Valon, that maybe that's what the Mishnah tells me, based on Xeris HaKosub, Kol, even if there's no opportunity for the Ratzeach Bishkoga to go free, he still goes to the Ori Miklo. And that's the Mishnah in Makkos, that if at the time someone killed someone else b'shogeg and there was a Kohen Gadol, and then before they had a chance to make the Gemar Din Legolus, the Kohen Gadol died and they didn't have a chance to appoint another Kohen Gadol yet, and they make a Gemar Din, Pliny has to go to Ori Miklo and they can't finish off Admos HaKohen HaGadol. There is no Kohen Gadol to speak of. So the Mishnah says, even though they'll appoint a new Kohen Gadol when he's already in the Ori Miklo, it doesn't help. He's Eina Yaitim Misham Liyol. So that's learned that from this Ribui Kol. Lanu Shama Kol Retzeach. Kol means to be marbid, even such a Retzeach will never have the opportunity of going free with the Mises Kohen Gadol. And the Mishnah is going to have the contrast between the Dinam of the Kohen Gadol and the Dinam of the Melech. What's the story with Chalitza? So the Kohen Gadol is Choleit V'Cholsin L'Yishto. If the Kohen Gadol's brother died leaving no children, so he is obligated to perform Chalitza to enable his sister-in-law, the Yevama, to remarry. And in the event that the Kohen Gadol dies, so his brother can do Chalitza to the Almana of the Kohen Gadol. As opposed to the Melech, that it says the Melech Lo Choleit V'Lo Cholsin L'Yishto. If the Melech's brother dies, and the sister-in-law wants, and they have no children, they left no descendants, and the sister-in-law wants to remarry, so the Melech is not permitted to perform Chalit. Lo Chalit. The Melech is not permitted to perform Chalit. So why not?
He has his brother.
Huh?
He has his brother
No, if there are other brothers who are not with him, the other brothers should.
The other brother.
No. Only if he's the only surviving brother, so then we wouldn't permit him to perform the chalitza. So Rashi and the Rambam say the reason why is because part of the chalitza ceremony is that she spits in front of the yavam as a bizayon to be mevazim. Kachi yotolish ashele yivnes beitachiv. You deserve to be humiliated. That's why she takes off his shoe. You take off when a person is in avelos, he has to take off his shoes. So she takes off the shoe of the yavam to demonstrate you deserve to be benidui. One who is in nidui has to observe avelos for himself. One who is menuda is considered like a gabrik tilus. He has to observe avelos for himself. So she takes off the shoe of the yavam and she says kachi yasali. She deserves to be menuda for not agreeing to do the ibum. And then she spits in front of him to be mevaza him as well. So to be mevaza the melech by taking off his shoe, by showing that he deserves nidui, by spitting in front of him, that's to do it to the kain gadol. There's a din of kavod to the kain gadol also, a serious din of kavod to the kain gadol. But the din of the different dinim of kavod are bris. All men were created equal, but some men are more equal than others. So there's a din of kavod. Everyone was created to tell the malakim. You have to show kavod abris to all human beings, the Jews and non-Jews. You got to show kavod abris. But there's more chiyuv kavod to your parents than to the rest of the people. There's a bigger chiyuv kavod to a talmid chacham than to a non-talmid chacham. There's a bigger chiyuv kavod to the melech than to the non-melech. There's a greater chiyuv kavod to the kain gadol than to other people. And then you have to figure out a hierarchy. What if he's the chief rabbi? There's a greater chiyuv kavod to the nasi than there is to stam a talmid chacham. What if you have the nasi pitted against the melech? So who's chiyuv kavod? Novi. There's a chiyuv kavod habrias to the novi, greater than to another person. So what if it's a Novi in conflict with the Chiyuv Kavod to the Melech? So which one takes precedence? So there are rules and regulations. The Rambam quotes a lot of details about this. In public and private, the dinim differ. So there is a din of Chiyuv Kavod to the Kohen Gadol, but that doesn't prevent the Kohen Gadol from performing the Chalitza, and she takes off his shoe to demonstrate it is a bizayon to the Kohen Gadol. She takes off his shoe to demonstrate you deserve to be menuda. That's why I'm taking off the shoe, and she spits in front of him. The chiyuv kavod to the kohen gadol is a great chiyuv kavod, but not as great as the chiyuv kavod towards the melech. But by the melech, the chiyuv kavod is so great. So in tasma kefaloshim shetei emaso alecha, not only kavod, even mora. Emaso is mora. So then we wouldn't permit them to do chalitza, either to take off the shoe of the melech or to spit by the melech. So the woman never has to remain an aguna for the rest of her life, because he's not allowed to perform the chalitza. So there's an easy solution. Why doesn't he marry her? A kain gadol. So that's what the Mishnah continues. Abul huayna miyabim. And she wants to be almana. He's not allowed to be miyabim her. Right. That's how the Mishnah continues. Umiyabim es ishto. If the kain gadol dies and he leaves no children, no descendants at all, so then his brother has, if his brother is Nishkin Kohen Gadol, so his brother has an option of either doing Yibum or Chalitza. But if the Kohen Gadol's brother died, so then we wouldn't permit the Kohen Gadol either to do Yibum. We would not permit the Kohen Gadol to do Yibum, but we would permit him to participate in a Chalitza. Cholet, he does participate in a Chalitza, but Eina Miyabem, who Eina Miyabem? Why? Because he's also the Alman. That's the Mishnah. So he's not allowed to marry an almana. So the Gemara has the famous kasha, the last three lines on Yud Ches on the base. Kapasik v'toni, the Mishnah writes a din, a flat statement, loishna min eris and loishna min anisuit. Says in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol is not permitted to perform Yibum if his brother dies and he leaves no children and no descendants. So it doesn't seem to make a distinction whether the brother of the Kohen Gadol was living with the woman and she's a Bula, or they only had Erisin and the brother died during Erisin and she's really a Basula. In either case, he's not permitted to perform Yibum. So the Gemara asks, why not? Bishleima min anisuin, if the brother who died was living with the Almana, with his wife, so then, and then the brother dies leaving no children, no descendants at all. So you understand why the Kohen Gadol is not permitted to perform Yibum on the Almana, because it's an Estei Vilois Esten. Rashi explains on the last line on Yud Ches in the base, it's an Estei V'huisha V'psoleho Yikach, and it's a Lois Esten Almano Lo Yikach. So we have a din Estei Decha Lois Esten, But ain't that the dechalai says to the yeser? So to allow the kain gadol to perform ibum on an aman and minani suin, who's both an isa esse and a lois esse, so that we understand is not allowed. But elam in erisin, but if the brother of the kain gadol who died only had erisin with the woman, and he didn't live with her yet, so she's not yet a bu'ula. So the prohibition standing in the way, the thing that prevents the kain gadol from performing ibum, is only a lois esse, that he's not allowed to marry aman ulayikach. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, Amai, why do you say, Einu miyabim, Yavu esim yitcholoi sesei, what happened to the principle, Esed decholoi sesei? So the Gemara answers, Anachinami, we have a Mishnah in Yevamos, on Daf Chof, where the Mishnah has a whole list of people. If my brother married a woman, and he died leaving no children, and the woman happens to be a mamzeres, or a woman who's asura, love of the call. So the Mishnah says, I'm not permitted to perform Yibum, have to do chalitza. So Gemara asks, why am I forbidden to perform yibum? It should be mutter to do the yibum based on the principle of esed dechalai sesed. So Gemara answers on all those cases in the Mishnah, menatar tzake mutter, but it's a gzeira midarabban, gzeira birishayna, otu biyoshniya. The esed dechalai sesed would only apply by the birishayna. By the biyoshniya, the mitzvah has already been fulfilled previously, by the birishayna. So normally, by the biyoshniya, we say, hobi ishtariya ishtariya. Since the woman was materis to me by the first birishayna, so mimele she remains materis throughout the marriage. I don't say why don't you pull back the yisur? Why don't you reinstate the yisur of eshesach? Whenever you perform yibum, there's an yisur of eshesach. So how do you allow the person to do yibum? So that's the din in the Torah that b'makom mitzvah yibum the eshesach is hutra. So even though the mitzvah of yibum is only on the birishayna, on the birishneya, there's no Kiyama mitzvah of Yibum. Once you do Birishani, you become the mitzvah. But he's permitted to remain with the Eshesach. Why don't you say the Yisra Eshesach comes back again? The answer is no, that's the klal. Hold the Ishtarya, Ishtarya. If I married a woman and the woman was Materes Eli, B'tchilos Oishas, Het Gomor, Ishtarya means Hutra, Het Gomor, so then she remains Materes Eli for the duration of the marriage. But if by the Tchilos Oishas, it wasn't muta hetagorma, it was only muta based on etadechalai sesei, it was only based on dechuya. So it's only going to be dechuya kol zman that you have the deiche. So during the birishayna, you have etadechalai sesei. Once the birishayna is over, you're up to the birishniya, so then you no longer have the mitzvah of yivamu yavale, that should be deiche. And you can't apply hov ishtari ishtari. Hov ishtari is a mishnah in yivam, is daf samach aleph or not. Mishnah has like this. How old is the kain gadol? When they make him kain gadol? You take a young guy. You don't take a young guy 20, 25 years old. You just got his smicha. You make him kain gadol. Stomach, wait. Stomach, you appoint someone else kain gadol. Guy's kain gadol for 30, 40 years. And he dies. And then if his son is royal kass, they make him kain gadol. Stomach, the father dies in his 80s, 90s, whatever. And the young man, the son, is in his 60s, 50s, 60s, when you appoint him as a kain gadol. So what are you going to do if the best qualified person happens to be married to an almana? A kohen is allowed to marry an almana. He's not allowed to marry a grusha. A regular kohen is allowed to marry an almana. So what do you do? A kohen married a nice girl, an almana, and then at the age of 55, 65, the kohen gadol passes away. And everybody looks at him, and we want to appoint him as the kohen gadol. But then if you're going to appoint him as the kohen gadol, he has to get divorced from his wife, because the kohen gadol is not allowed to live with an almana. So said the Mishnah, no, that's okay. It says if a Kohen married an Almana, even if he only had Erisin, had Erisin is Kiddushin. Even though he didn't do Nisun yet, Erisin is Almana. When the Sman Aliyah's Kain Gadol, you appoint him as the Kain Gadol before he even does the Nisun, so it's Mutal Kainsa. That's the Mishnah in Yivam, the Dav Samach Alef Manav. So Gemara says, why? So the Gemara says, that's the Klal, Hol the Ishtarya, Ishtarya. Since at the time that the Kohen Hedyo married this Almana, it was Hetagomer, it was absolutely muta for him to marry her, because the Kohen Hedyo is permitted to marry an Almana. So even though later he's appointed as a Kohen Gadol, and now we should say he's not allowed to remain married with her, there's no such halacha. The halacha says whenever the marriage was absolutely Hetagomer, with Tchilas HaYishus, well, the Ishtarya, since it was Hetagomer, Bahaskala, Ishtarya remains muta throughout the Yishus. But that klal only applies, all the ishtar only applies if it was hutra at the beginning. Every case of yibum is always hutra. How do you ever allow the Yavam to marry the Yavama. So the answer is, how do you ever allow the Yavam to marry the Yavam? Isn't it Nisa of Eishesach? Eishesach is an Nisa. The answer is no, it says in the Chumash, it's Mutter. Yeah, but it only says in the Chumash, the Mutter Bir Rishayna. The Bir Rishayna is the mitzvah Yavama Yavala. Once you get to the Bir Shniyah, so there's no more mitzvah of Yavama Yavala. So why don't I say, every Yavam has to divorce the Yavama after the Bir Rishayna? So the answer is no, that's ridiculous. So it just explains in Yavamas that we say, well, the Ishtariya, Ishtariya, since Bishaz Bir Rishayna, where it has to Gomor, because this is a b'china of hutra, this is not the chuya. The fact that the yavam is mutar lavo al gevintoy, it's not a b'china of eser dechal esetis. Ein eser dechal esetis sheish v'koriz. Eishesach is an eser koriz. You can't say it's a geder adin that the mitzvah of yavam yavam ala is so powerful. It's dechal de lo esetis sheish v'koriz ad eishesach. You never dechal lo esetis sheish v'koriz. So the answer is that b'makam mitzvah yibam is hutra. It's hetha gomer. So since it's had the gomer, the bir rishayna, so even though the bir shniyah, there's no longer any mitzvah, that's the rule. Well, the ishtar, if you have an issues, that betchilas are issues, it was had the gomer for the husband to live with his wife, even though later something comes up and it really should be prohibited for him to continue living with her, we say, hol the ishtar, ishtar. But this is only applicable if betchilas are issues, it was had the gomer. What if betchilas are issues, it was only based on a heter of dechuya, so then the klal of hol ishtariya doesn't apply. That's not ishtariya, that's only dechuya. So that's what the Gemara says. Whenever someone is performing yibum, bir ishayna on a woman where there's an iser, she's a mamzera, she's a nesina, she's a grusha lekoin, she's an almana lekoin gadol, let's say, there is an iser. So we say, no, bir ishayna is muta because that's a dechalai sese. But that's a dechalai sese. It's only the chuya. That's not hutra. There's a difference between the chuya and hutra. Everybody knows. What's the difference halacha l'maaseh between the chuya and hutra? Well, one thing, when you have a conflict, in life there's always conflict. Half of the Gemara tells you what the din is, and half of the Gemara tells you what do you do when you have a conflict between the different din. So, Safik Mammon and Safik Nefashis, and Hamayt Samachavar al Haraya, that's a dechaloy sese. Much of the Kemat, half of the Gemara tells you, how do you deal with conflicts? Because all of life is always full of conflict. So there's one of the many conflicts is Eser Decha Loi Sese. When you have a conflict between performing a mitzvah sese and a loi sese, if you'll perform the mitzvah, you'll be a violation of an aver. It would be nizah not to violate the aver. You'll lose the opportunity to perform the mitzvah. So the Gemara has a klal. Kamokim shatamotze, Omer Shlokish. Gemara Yavamah's quotes of Shlokish says, Kamokim shatamotze, Eser Veloi Sese, if you can fulfill the mitzvah sesei without violating the loy sesei, so you have to do so. Esei is not derech loy sesei when you have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah without violation of the loy sesei. But in if it's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah sesei without violating the loy sesei, then we say yavo esei v'yitcha loy sesei. So the pasuk pshat in the Gemara is that that's a din min haTorah. That since Eser Decha Loi Sese, we use the expression Decha, it's only Dechuyo, so therefore the rule sets in, Efshe Lekayim Shneyem, then there's no Heter. Other cases you have, let's say that something is Hutra, something is Heter Gomer, it's not Dechuyo, like the Gemara has the Machlekes in the first Perek in Yuma, and the Avav on the base, where the Tumah, we had it in the first Perek in Sanhedrin, where the Tumah is, if you have to bring a Korban Shizmanu Kavua, and the only way to bring the carbon is all the Kohanim Atomim. So the din is that you're permitted to bring the carbon even in the state of Tumah because it's a carbon Shazmana Kavua. The Gemara has a Machloikis Hatanoim and a Machloikis Amaroim. We had in the first parak a Machloikis Hatanoim. With a Tumah in a carbon Shazmana Kavua, it's Tumah Hutra Betzibur or Tumah Dechuya Betzibur. The Rambam Paskin's Dechuya. But what's the difference? Whether Dechuya Hutra, just a difference in one word. The Gemara says, no, difference in concept. If it's Dechuya, then you have to try to avoid it. If it's Efshe L'Kayim Shneim, if you can fulfill the mitzvah of Hakrovas HaKarbon without violating the Iser Hakrova B'tumah, so you have to do so. If it's Hutra, you don't even have to try to avoid it. Whenever it's Hutra, you don't have to try to avoid it. So the Gemara, the Pashtus in the Gemara is that Eser Deicha Loi Sese is only Dechuyah. It's not Hutra. Some Akhrenim, the Galatian Akhrenim, have a big Kiddush. The Pashtus says that it's against the Gemara. Galatian Akhrenim want to say, Minatoira Eser Decha Loi Sese is really Hutra. And it's only a Chumr Midirabonim that we treat it as if it were a Dechuya, and therefore we say that if it's Efshe L'Kayim Shneyem, then there's no heter to violate Eloi Seseh. The Pashtus is that it's not true. The Pashtus is that Eseh Zech Eloi Seseh is Zechah, that's the formulation of an Atar. It's a din of the Chuyah. Since it's the Chuyah, so the Klal of Rish Lakish applies that it's only Zechah. A is only Zechah B. The Eseh is only Zechah Eloi Seseh. If it's actually Lekayim Shnei. So here the Gemara has this distinction. By a normal Yibum, any normal case of Yibum, so the Mitzvah Yibum is only fulfilled by the Bir Rishayna. Once he finishes Bir Rishayna, it's no longer a Mitzvah to do the Bir Shnia. So how is the Yavam permitted to live with the Yavama? Why don't we say that the Yisra Eishesachah comes back again? The Yisra Eishesachah is an Yisra Kores. So Tosis explains in Yavam, is Daf Chesam Abeis, the Yisra Eishesachah doesn't come back again because Bishaz Bir Rishayna, it was Hetta Gomor. It's Hutra, it's not the Chuyah. When you have the permissibility to perform Yibum, despite the fact that it's my brother's wife, it's an Eshe Sach, that it doesn't mean that Eshe Dech Aloi says it. It's not the Chuyah, it's Hutra. So since it's Hutra, Hetta Gomor, so the Klal sets in that, Paul the Ishtarya, Ishtarya. Since the woman was Mataris Labaila, Bishaz Birishaina, so she remains Hetta Gomor, even Birishnir for the rest of the marriage. But if the Shas Biri Shaina, it wasn't Hutra Hetagoma, because the woman is an almana. The woman is an almana, so it's only based on Eseh Dech Aloi Seseh. It's not a Hutra, it's a Dechuyah. So true, Bishas Biri Shaina, it'll be Mutter. But Bishas Biri Shnia, the Yisra will come back again, because he no longer have the Heter, the Biri Shaina is a mitzvah. So you have Eseh Dech Aloi Seseh, when you do the Biri Shnia, there won't be any Heter. So in the Rabbana, we don't even permit them to perform the Biri Shaina. That's the Gemara here, and that's the Gemara in Yevamos. It says on Daf Kof and Beis. The Gemara says all of the cases listed in the Mishnah that we don't allow, many cases in the Mishnah in Yevamos on Kof and Aleph, that we don't allow the person to perform Yibum, really Menatari, he's permitted to perform Yibum. It's only Midirab, it's permitted Menatari to perform Yibum because we say Eseh Dech Aloi Seseh. Because it's not a loisess of yesi. Here, if it's almana minani suin, then it's a loisess of yesi, so then it's minatora. Ein eseh dech a loisess of yesi. But if it's only almana minu erisin, but it's only a loisess of. So it should really be eseh dech a loisess. The Gemara says, you're right. Minatora, we would have applied eseh dech a loisess. But it would only be muta to have the birish shniya. He won't say hoel bishtar yishtar, because it wasn't hetagoma bishas birish shina. It was only muta based on the chuyah. So we made Xer the Rabban, Xer the Rishayna, or to be a Shnir. And the Gemara proves that the din is so. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a Braisa that we can demonstrate that this is the case. Demonstrate that what is the case? That Ben Atoira, it's Mutter to do the Bir Rishayna. It's not an Issa deraisa to do the Bir Rishayna. Tanya Nami Hachi, why? It says, in Kodmu Ubalu, Bir Rishayna, Konu, the Osa Lekaima, the Bir Shnir. Tosefta, the Braisa, Tanya Nami Hacha, this Braisa refers to all the cases in the Mishnah there, on Chof Amad Aleph and Yevamos. That my brother dies, and he, let's say, I'm a Kohen, my brother was married to a Grusha. So I'm a Kohen, I'm not allowed to marry a Grusha. Or my brother was married to a Mamzeret. I'm not allowed to marry a Mamzeret. Or whatever the Issa happens to be. So it says in the Mishnah, they're not permitted, the surviving brother is not permitted to perform Yibum. But nonetheless, in Kodmu Abualu, if they went ahead and they did the Yibum, in Kodmu Abualu, Birishayna, Konu, the Kaina, the Almana, and now there's no longer any need for Halik, so all you have to do is give a get. But also the Kaima, the Birishnir. He's not allowed to have a Birishnir with her. So how did the Gemara prove from this Braisa that the whole prohibition to perform the Yibam is only mid the Rabbanon, Xera Birishana to be a Shnir. Maybe it's an Issa Deraisa. Maybe for some reason or another you don't apply Eseh Dech Aloi Seseh. How does it say Tanya Nami Hochi? We can prove from the Braisa that it's only Xera the Rabbanon, that we don't allow the Birishana. It's only Xera Birishana to be a Shnir. If it would have been an Issa Deraisa, we would have said in Kodmu Boalu, Loi Konu. That's what it sounds like. The reason why in Kodmu Boalu, Konu, if they went ahead and they did the Birishayna against the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do Yibum, but if the Braisa says if you went ahead and you did the Yibum, you're kaina completely, and now there's no longer any need to do Chalitza, all you have to do is Yibum. So the Gemara understands the din, if it would have been a din deraisa that you're not permitted to do the Yibum in a Torah, then the din should have been that you're not kaina. That's the Gemara's assumption. would not have been found. Something like that. That's how the Gemara is assuming. The fact that it says that if they did the Yibum, it is kinda, that's right, that the whole prohibition against doing the Yibum is only made the Rabbanus. It would have been an Issa Deraisa, then the din would have been that Loikon. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. So there's a famous difficulty in the Rambam. The Rambam quotes this Gemara. Let's say the Kohen Gadol's brother dies, Minani Suin. Kohen Gadol's brother had Nisuin. So the Almana Minani Suin is an essay, Vilois essay. Gemara says, Hu Yishabim Sala Yikach is an essay. Then it says, Almana Lo Yikach is a Lois essay. The bottom line in Rashi. So if it's an Almana Minani Suin, then it's an essay, Vilois essay. And then the din should be, Ein essay, Dechalois essay, the essay. That's a din Minatora. That Mideraisa, you don't do evil. You're not permitted Minatora to do evil. That's what the Gemara said. Bishleim Almana Minani Suin. Is an essay of a lois says, an essay of a lois says, yes, that I understand. But if it's only Almana min Erisin, why can't you do Yibum? Why don't you say essay of a lois says? Mar says, you're right, Minatari, you're allowed to do, you should do Yibum. It's only mid the Rabbana that we don't allow. But if it would have been an Almana min Anisuin, then it would have been a din Minatari, then an essay of a lois says. So the Rambam quotes this, and then he writes, nonetheless, in Kodmur Boalu, Kodmur. If the Kohen Gadol did Yibum on the Almana Min Anisuin, notwithstanding the fact that it's an Iser Eser Veleis Eser, and in Atara En Eser Decha Leis Eser Veleis, nonetheless, in Kodmu Boalu, Konu, and all he has to do now is give a get. He doesn't have to do Chalitza, because the Yibum is Kohen. So all the Akhrenim ask, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara said, Beferish, Tanya, Nami Hachi, I'll prove to you that the whole prohibition against doing Yibum is only in the Rabbanon. Because it says in the Brayton Kadmu Boalu Konu, and if it would have been an Issa Deraisa, we should have said Loikonu. So the Rambam writes it on the Rambam quotes in Kadmu Boalu Konu, even on the case of an Almona Minani Suin, where it's an Issa Esay Veloys Esay. So Minatayr it's not Deicher. So the Minatayr is not allowed to do Yibum. So that's what all Achrayim ask on the Rambam. How can he write in Kadmu Boalu Konu on the case where it's no good Minatayr? Minatayr is not allowed to do Yibum. The Gemara implies in such a case he shouldn't be kind. That's Makshim Ha'elam. So there's a famous Nadi Behuda. Nadi Behuda has, after all, the Shaivas and Tshuvas, every Tshuva has a number, 1, 2, 3. All the Tshuvas have a number. So at the end of the whole Nadi Behuda, Chelek Aleph, Madura Kama, he has the last letter, has no number. It's not a Tshuva Halacha L'maisa, it's a Shtikul Torah. So it's a shtikul Torah nishvera Rambam. So he has a suggestion. It's a questionable suggestion. How to resolve this shvera Rambam? How to be miyashiv the shvera Rambam? So he quotes a Gemara from the last daf in Chulin. What's the reason for this rule? Ein eser decha lois esei b'yesei. The rule is eser decha lois esei. That's a pasuk, eser decha lois esei. But there's a rule, ein eser decha lois esei b'yesei. Why is that so? So the Gemara says on the last daf in Chulin, the last Amud Aleph, the Masechta Chulin ends on an Amud Beis, and on the last Amud Aleph in Chulin, the Gemara throws out the following svara. How can you say essay deicha lois esay essay mayul mehay essay mehay essay? Why should you say that this essay is deicha that essay? Maybe this essay should be nitcha because of that essay. They're both on the same level. Essay deicha lois esay. That's a klal that's derived from Ksukis. But that's a decha essay. It's the same. This is an essay, and that is an essay. So mayume, what is to tell you that this is stronger? Aleph, why do you think that this essay is stronger than that essay? So that's the reason that the Gemara gives why we have such a klal of ein essay decha lois essay v'yes. So the Nadi Yehuda says that svara that the Gemara says explains why l'chatchila the din should be in advance. You're discussing, are you allowed to perform Yibum? Is the Kohen Gadol permitted to perform Yibum on a woman who's an Almona Min Anisuin? So the Gemara says, of course not. The Gemara says on the bottom of Ambeis. Because they nesed, Dechalai says in the essay. Mayum mehayesim mehayesim. But then what would be the din bin Yevit if he went ahead and he did the Yibum? So what are you going to say? Loi Konu. He's absolutely not Kohen. Why? Because he wasn't allowed to perform the Yibum in Atar. So he says, my only hayasid, hayasid. There's up that this essay is strong. Maybe the other essay is strong. So since it's a tie, you don't know how to resolve it. So he says, lechatchila, you say, my only hayasid, my hayasid. That lechatchila, that's what dictates to you that you're not allowed to perform the evil. But b'di'evet, if you went ahead and you did the evil, so shem b'di'evet, lachar ha'maisa. So then you say in the reverse direction, mayom mehayase mehayase. Mechatesa, that the essay of the iser kim besulam miyam of yikach isha is stronger than the essay of yibam yavaleh. Maybe the essay of yibam yavaleh is stronger than that essay. So for the yevi, we would say there's svar in the reverse direction, mayom me. So we would say that kon. Problematic. What do you mean? Mayom me is a suffix. You treat mayom mehayase. Who is to determine that this essay is stronger than that essay? Maybe that essay is stronger than that. So if you treat it as a suffix, so then even b'di'evet we should say we're not so convinced that the yibum was chal. We should require that he should repeat. He should do a chalitza. What do you mean b'di'evet did svar gosaket? If you're not sure which direction, which essay is stronger, to say b'di'evet we're not sure. It's a suffix whether b'alu kano, b'alu lo kano. So you should require a chalitza. So that's what they all jump on the Nari Bihuda. We're not so sure what his answer was. But that's a famous problem in the Rambam, that the Rambam is against the simple reading of the Gemara. The Gemara said here, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a brisa that supports the theory that we just developed, that it's only a Gzera Midrabbanon. It's not Minatora that it's forbidden for the Kohen Gadol to do Yibum on an Almanah Min Eirusin. Almanah Min Anisun is forbidden Minatora, because Ein Eser Dechel Eser Yeser. But almanah min erisin, it's only forbidden mid the rabbanon because it exerah the rabbanon exerah the rishon out to be a shneir. So the Gemara proves that that's so. Tanya amihachi, because it says in kodmo balu konu. And if it would been a din deraisa, how can you say that you can't be the other? So the problem is the Rambam writes kodmo balu konu by the case of almanah min anisuin. So the Gemara says whenever it's deraisa, you're not kind of. So the Rambam is against the Gemara. The kasha is better than the terah. The kash against the Rambam is better than the Rambam. The Gemara is kemat beferish against the Rambam. The famous problematic Rambam. So let's see again. So the Gemara is making, the Mishnah is making a contrast between the dinim of the Kohen Gadol and the dinim of the Melech. That although there is a din, how do you know that there's a din of Kvod Kohen Gadol? Who says that there is a din of Kvod Kohen Gadol? The Mishnah says, Mishnah says by the tiny letter Vav in the Mishnah Yud Ches Amud Aleph, it says when the Kohen Gadol loses his relative and he's in an aggravated state because one of his relatives died, so it says Kol Ha Momrim Lo, when the Sibur comes to be Menachem Ovo, so they say Onu Kaparosko. What does that mean? Onu Kaparosko. The Rashi writes, Bonu tiskaperato, vanachnu tachtecho, v'chol haroi lavo alecho. That's a very unusual concept here. The Mishnah says, the premise of the Mishnah seems to be that there is a chiyuv kavod to the Kohen Gadol. The mechuyav to be mechaber the Kohen Gadol. And part of the chiyuv kavod is that if the Kohen Gadol is aggravated, we should ease his aggravation. If the Kohen Gadol, let's say, has to schlep a heavy suitcase, so we have to make it easier for him. And a chiyuv kavod, we mechaber him to make it easier. What if he's psychologically aggravated? So if we are psychologists, we know how to wave a magic wand to remove the aggravation. So part of the chiyuv kavod requires that we should ease his tension. We should calm him down. And what if in Hashemayim there were goyzer that he should suffer, that he and his family should suffer? So we should volunteer out of kavod of the Kohen Gadol. We should volunteer to accept the suffering. We say, Onu kaparosko, Onu tachtecho, we want a substitute for you. V'chol aroi lavo alecha. Min Hashemayim, they want you to suffer. Why does it help? It's a strange concept. Why does it help? But that's what it says in the Mishnah. So the tzibur has a chi of kavod towards the Kohen Gadol. So they should say, Onu kaparosko, we want to accept the onish min Hashemayim. If they'll agree, the Bezon Shamayla may not agree, but we should offer it. We should offer it to the Kohen Gadol. We should say, Onu kaparoscha, Onu tachtecho l'chol aroi lovo alecho. We are prepared to accept the suffering instead of you to lighten your burden. So that we have such a din of kibud aviyeh. There's a din.
Huh?
People don't do it yet, but the Gemara has a din, the Shulchan Aruch has a din. That if a parent dies, so within the first 12, the Gemara says the maximum that they punish somebody in Gehenna is Yud Beis Chodesh. Mishpat Rishon Gehenna is Yud Beis Chodesh. That's the maximum. The biggest Rosha goes out of Gehenna after 12 months. So that's why the meaning is that the Seiris quotes from the Zohar that if the children or the descendants, draw Mezaka Abba, says if the children or the descendants of the Niftar will recite Kaddish and Al Dava Farnomid, this will ease the burden of the parent. In case the parent is suffering in Gehenna, so this will ease the burden. If they're not suffering Gehenna, so if the parent is the absolute Tzadigoma, so there's no need for the children to say Kaddish. The Kibbut Av is, we're afraid maybe the parents have to suffer in Gehenna. And the Zohar tells us a whole story about Rabbi Akiva, that someone was suffering in Gehenna, and then the solution to the problem would have been if the child or the grandchild would have recited Kaddish, so that would ease the suffering in Gehenna. So we have a chiyuv kovet to lighten the burden for the parents. And the din is mechab de mechay, mechab de lacham also. You have to lighten the burden for the parents while they're alive, and lighten the burden even after they die. And even if the parents are sinners, to which they deserve to suffer in Gehenna, so we have to lighten their burden then as well. So the minhag to recite Kaddish is based on this passage in the Zohar, that this will ease their suffering in Gehenna. So the Gemara has a din, that's in Zohar, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Zohar. And in Nigle, the Gemara has a din, and in Yerideya, the din is quoted, that the children should say within the first year, whenever they mention a parent, they should say, Hareni Kaparas Mishkovoi. What does it mean, Hareni Kaparas Mishkovoi? They should offer to the Bezer Shalmaila, Anu Tachtom, we are prepared, we offer to the Bezer Shalmaila if they'll accept it. We offer to the Bezer Shalmaila that they should punish us instead of punishing the parents. So we want to lighten the suffering of the parents. Any suffering that they deserve in the Olam HaEmes in Gehenna, so we want to accept it upon ourselves. The same is over here. Because we have a chiyuv kovet to the Kohen Gadol, so we say, Onu Kaparascho. So we have a chiyuv kovet to the parents, we say, Hareni Kaparas Mishkovet. I accept upon myself any yisurin I offer to the Bezal Shammai. They may turn down the offer. They may say, no, we want to punish the parents. We don't want to punish. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand Bechlav. Why should the Bezal Shammai go for this deal? Why should they? We offer to the Kohen Gadol Anu Kaparascho. What do you mean Anu Kaparascho? Would they want to punish the Kohen Gadol for some good demise and tzivim that he did? So what does it help if the tzibah volunteers Anu Kaparascho? I don't understand. But apparently there is such a concept. So it's the same, just like there's a chi of kibud av, and included in kibud av is to lighten their burden of suffering, and that's only the first 12 months. After the first 12 months, they're not suffering anymore. Because the maximum mishpat rishon begehedim is going to be Yud Beis Chodesh. The same thing the Kaddish. We don't want to demonstrate as if the parents were really suffering again for a full 12 months. So the Ramah says the minig is one only recites Kaddish for the first 11 months. We don't want to imply as if the parents were such rishoyim that they need the Kaddish recited for the full 12 months. That's a bizoyim to the parents. Now, Chayim say unless it's not a child who's saying the Kaddish, if it's a stranger, let's say there's no child who's able to say Kaddish, you ask a stranger to recite the Kaddish, then you should talk, you ask him to say it for the full 12 months. Just in case the parents are possibly suffering for the full 12 months in Gehenna, so let the guy say the Kaddish for the full 12 months. But the children shouldn't demonstrate such a thing. They shouldn't say Kaddish for 12 months. So again, so the Mishnah says, despite the fact that there is a chiyuv kavod towards the Kohen Gadol, that they say, Onu Kaparascho, they mechuyev to say, Onu Kaparascho, we want to lighten your burden. Nonetheless, it says, Koletz, that the Kohen Gadol does perform chalitza. Becholzin liishtar, that you do. But by the Melech, the Mishnah says, Lo Koletz. The Melech doesn't participate in chalitza. Because by the Melech, it's a din same tassim al amach, shitei masu alecha. Not only is there a chi of covet, there's a chi of mora, that's the emo, that's way more than covet. So that would be a bizoyan to the Melech if he's going to perform the chalitza. The taking off of the shoe to demonstrate that he deserves to be menudin, the spitting on the floor, also nidui. So all of the whole ceremony of the chalitza is a bizoyan for the Melech, because it's such a great chi of covet. So the Mishnah says he doesn't perform the halit. So let him do the yibum. So it says, Lo miyabe. We don't allow him to do the yibum. What's wrong? Why can't he do yibum? What is the din of Melech is not allowed to marry a girl who was ever married to anybody else. There's no such din. Melech can't marry a Grusha and Alma. Melech can marry a Grusha and Alma. So why can't the Melech perform evil? What's wrong if the Melech performs evil? So Rashi, Rashi writes that the reason why Lo Meyabim is because the pasuk says in Chumash that the one who performs the yibum marries the Eshes Hameis is the Yokam Al Shemachib Hameis. He's pinch-hitting for the one who died. He's substituting for the husband who died. So the Melech should be the Memalei Mokum for his brother who died. That's a bizayin to the Melech. He should be the Memalei Mokum, Yokam Al Shemachib Hameis. That constitutes a bizayin. Yeah, where's that Rashi? I forgot already. Where's that Rashi? Not a Rashi. Who writes like that? You test on the base? The Yibum Genaivu Lo Lokem Al Shemachi, right? The fourth line from the top of your test on the base. Yibum Genaivu Lo Lokum Al Shem Ochi. Yeah. What does the Rambam write? A different reason. What does the Rambam write? Why don't you do Yibum? So the Rambam writes that it's a strange time. The Rambam writes a strange time. That since you don't do chalitza, so you don't do yibum. There is no such klal. Gemara has faker the klal. Kol she'ein oda liyibum, ein oda lachalitza. Whenever there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. There is no such klal. Whenever there's no chalitza, there's no yibum. So that's, I think, what the Rambam writes over here. That since the melech is not allowed to perform chalitza, so whenever he can't do chalitza, he can't do yibum. That's a strange din, a problematic din. So again, so the Mishnah is making the contrast. So the melech lo choleis v'lo choltzim v'yishto, and the kangaroo is choleis v'lo choltzim v'yishto. As far as the yibum, they're both the same. The melech is lo miyam lo miyam v'yishto. And the kangaroo is at this, what's again the beginning of kangaroo? Who ain't a miyabim? Neshuasa b'almana. So that he has in common with the melech for different reasons. The melech isn't miyabim because it's a bizayin. Rashi says, because bizayin lochem ashamachem amei. So the way the Rambam writes. But miyabim es ishto, if the kangaroo dies, you do perform yibum. And by the melech, you don't perform yibum. Yeah, why don't, if the melech dies, why don't you perform yibum to his wife? So that we understand. It says in the Mishnah, when the melech dies, no one's allowed to marry the almana. So we understand why you're not allowed to perform yibum. And if the melech dies, why don't you perform chalitza? If the melech dies, leaving no descendants, why don't you perform chalitza? What's the bizayin? The melech's brother, what's wrong if he does chalitza? The Rashi writes, Lo Choltzim Liishto, on the top of Yud Tes and the base on the second line. If the Melech dies, you don't perform Chalitza to the Almanas HaMelech, and they Shasur Lihinase. So Ben Kavaka, Einoisim Almanas HaShal HaMelech, she's not allowed to remarry. So you won't gain anything by performing the Chalitza. The Rashi writes that the only purpose of Chalitza is to be Mata Yivama Lihinase Elashur. But if Ben Kovako, she's Asur Lehinase, so there's nothing is gained by performing the Chalit. Asur Lehinase, you don't perform the Chalit. This is a discussion Achrayim have, be sure. Isn't there a mitzvah? What is Chalitza? Is only a matir? Or Chalitza is a mitzvah also? So Tesis in the end of Nida, Daf Samachalchem Beit has a raya, where they demonstrate that Chalitza is a mitzvah, it's not just a matir. Tosis has postulates a klal in Nidadav Samachal makes Tosis postulates a klal. If you have, let's say, a get is never a mitzvah to give a get. A get is a matter. The woman is permitted to remarry. So Tosis says, therefore, there's never a lachatchila deraisa by a get. If the get is a written shalodosh, most possible than a Torah. There's no such thing. Lachatchila should write the get like this, and be the evident good even if you didn't do it like that. When you're talking about a mitzvah, so you can speak about a mitzvah b'shleim musa and a mitzvah shalom b'shleim musa. If you do the mitzvah b'shleim musa, when you go to Olam Ha'emes, you get a bigger piece of with Yosef. You get more Gan Eden. You get a better spot, a ringside spot in Gan Eden, in Olam Habo, whatever. If you did a mitzvah shalom b'shleim musa, so you get less with Yosef, you get less Olam Habo. You get less Olam Habo in Gan Eden. But when you're talking about a matir, so how can you say l'chatzila should do the matir like this and be ever like that? So mid the rabbanim you have millions of dinim like that. And again, l'chatzila should be like this and be ever it's good without that also. But on the level of the rice, the Taisa says the concept doesn't make any sense. On the level of the rice, to say l'chatzila should be like this and be ever it's good even without like that. The whole concept of l'chatzila and be ever only makes sense when you're dealing with a mitzvah. So you want to perform a mitzvah b'shleim musa as opposed to a mitzvah shalom b'shleim musa. So Taisa says, for example, where do you have a mitzvah that you have a lachatchila deraisin, but you have it good without it, but the mitzvah shalom b'shleim musa, the Taisa says chalitza. That the din is that by chalitza there are three parts to the chalitza. You have the chalitza sasan, don't take them off the shoe. Then you have the rikika, the spinning. You have the kriya sapsukim. So we paskin like the Tanoim will say that the second two are not likuba. The Rikik is not Miakev and the Kriyas Apsukim is not Miakev. The only part that's Miakev is the Chalitza Sasandal. The rest is only Lachatchila. So Taisa says, so why do you even need it Lachatchila? If it's not Miakev and Yeved, so what do you gain by doing it Lachatchila? Taisa says, no, but it's a mitzvah. Chalitza is a mitzvah, so it's a mitzvah to do the mitzvah. Bishlei Musa. You get a bigger share in Olam Haba. You get a bigger chelik in Gan Eden if you do the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. So that's the Shaila. Let's say a man dies. Man is 95 years old, his wife is 93 years old. And she doesn't have anybody around. It's her age. Who's she gonna remarry? There's no one around her age. She's not interested in remarrying. And they never had any children at all. So is there a mitzvah to perform chalitza? They say no, chalitza is only a matir. So this is a big discussion in Poskim. Rabbi Zulchar finds a truth about this, and they say for Emek Yoshua. He quotes the Tesis and Nidah. That's Samachal from Mitzvah. The Tesis says the Farish. Said it's a mitzvah of a harayah from the fact that you have a lahatchilim b'diyevah deraisa. If it would only be a matir, it wouldn't make any sense to have lahatchilim b'diyevah. So that's a shayla. If it's true that it's a mitzvah, so what does Rashi say over here? So what if asur lehinase? But you still should perform the mitzvah? It's still a mitzvah to perform the chalitza. So that's the machlokes achrayim. Yet, maskim with what Taisa says. What Taisa said is 100% accepted. Luchaladeh. You have to assume that chalitza is a mitzvah. It's not just a matir. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense to have a lachatchila on the level of deraisa. But there's still room to argue. Maybe the mitzvah to perform chalitza is only in such a condition when the woman is interested in remarrying. If the woman is not interested in remarrying, maybe then the mitzvah doesn't apply. Or should I say, no, the mitzvah applies under all circumstances. So Rashi says, Beferish, if Asur Lehinase, if Ben Kovako, she's not going to remarry, then there's no mitzvah to perform chalitz. And others disagree, and they say, no, based on a Zohar. They say, no, that somehow chalitz is a tikkun for the nefesh of the niftar, and even if the woman is absolutely not interested in remarrying, there's still a mitzvah to perform the chalitz. So it's not that the machlekes are poskim, the Beis Shmuel quotes already in machlekes in Ebenezer. Beis Shmuel and Pesach Shuvah, they have the machlekes. The minig is, Lemaisa, the minig is that most of the women whose husbands die and they have no children, they only get chalitza when they're interested in remarrying. But that's a machlok. Many achrayim, they follow Rashi. Most of the people follow this Rashi. That the only time it's considered a mitzvah is if she's interested in remarrying. If Ben Kovako, she's not going to remarry, then we assume it's not a mitzvah. And there are others who disagree. Other achrayim disagree. And they say, no, it's a mitzvah to perform chalitza even if there's not shayach to remarry. So that's the shayla. Those who disagree, what are they going to do with this Mishnah? Why does it say lacholtin liishta? When a melech dies, you don't perform chalitza to the almanas hamelech. The Rashi says the reason why is because ain't noisem almanasa, because she's not allowed to be married. So the only time there's a mitzvah to do chalitza is when she's holding by being married. But if you all like those parts, know that there's a mitzvah deraisa to perform chalitza. Even if she's not interested in remarriage, so why don't you perform chalitza over here?
In the existence here, she's usher to that marriage. So in other cases, she wants to, she could. If not,
so why should it make a difference, though? But the old is nitzir is only when she did the sitting
in the nitzir is one thing, yes, but remember, if she's allowed to, if he doesn't get spoken in the nitzir, she's allowed to. She can get 10 spoken in the she's cooking him right. So maybe that's what that is.
That's the issue. Okay, that's the issue over here. If there's no Zika, yeah. Yeah, she's not Mataris Lehinasi Lashu. There is a Zika. But we say that Yavam is not permitted to do any evil because I know some Amanasu Shamela, it'll constitute a violation of Shitehei Masala. It's an Issa. It's an Issa to perform the evil. That's a famous topic of discussion. Those who disagree with the Minhag HaOlam, they hold that there's a mitzvah to perform chalitza even if the woman is not interested in remarrying. So how do they read the Mishnah? Lo chaltzin lishtum. So they'll have to give a pshat other than Rashi. They have to say some other pshat. So they say, kol she'en o'el liyim en o'el chalitza. Well, what kind of en o'el chalitza? It means a different thing. Kol she'en o'el liyim en o'el chalitza is in a different case. It shouldn't apply in this case. That's a problem. Okay, Belineta, tomorrow I'd like to start from the next line, Meis Lo Meis. There's a famous machlokes here, the Rambam and the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvos, whether this whole din is Berais or the Rabban. This whole machlokes of Meir Abudis. The Gemara says that it's all Zera Dilma Otsi Vinoga. Maybe the Kangodal will touch the Meis. It sounds from the Gemara that it's Xera. So that's the machlokes. Is that Xera the Rabban or is that Xera the Berais? What kind of Xera is it?